ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശില ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യവനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിശി ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ തൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച പംസഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം ഇതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതം ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനി വൃഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം തായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ സ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദിനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ്വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായ തേ നമഃ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദോഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമ ചകൽപദരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോ പങ്കോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീമദ്രാധാശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൌ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിസേവ്യമാനൌ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്നാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കൃഷാൻവേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രിയേസ്തു നാഃ തത്രകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹൃദയ പ്രിയേ ജയ് ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ So, this important verse in the 8th chapter, which we were looked at last Sunday, Ananya Cheta Sadatam Yomam Smaradi Nitisha, I think it is verse number 14. Ananya Cheta Sadatam Yomam Smaradi Nitisha, Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. We discussed that verse. Important word, first thing it tells is ananyam, that word, isn't it, ananyam, which is important because in Bhagavad Gita you will see that coming in many, many places. I can't remember, two or three places we mentioned, but there are more places in Bhagavad Gita also this word ananyam comes. So meaning of that word Narada Maharshi gives in the Bhakti Sutram, anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha, that is the first thing. If you give up the shelter of the world and shelter of other things and exclusively take Krishna shelter, that is called ananya bhakti. That bhakti is called ananya bhakti. Exclusively taking Krishna shelter. Which means, what they say is that you don't have to do that. All we have to do is to give up our shelter in the world. Once it has done, it's automatically it means the other. It's not to be done separately, because from inside Antaryami will carry out everything after that. At the moment, Jiva Ahanda is doing everything, isn't it? Ahanda inside is doing, so that will go. So then, Ananya Cheda Sadadam Yomam Smaradi Nityasha. We have discussed that also. And at the end, Krishna is saying, Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. To him, I am easily available, he says. To him, I am easily available, Krishna says. Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. For such a person who is in that state. Now, there is something here. Why Krishna said like that? That tasyaham tava saulabhyena kim syal iti uchyate shruno tad mama saulabhyena yad bhavati. In other words, Krishna is saying tava saulabhyena kim syal iti uchyate. Why Krishna says I am easily available to him, such a person? Shruno here that tad mama saulabhyena yad bhavati. He gives an explanation to that in the next verse. Why he is easily available for that one. But before we go into that, we also mentioned about this, that in the Panchadashi, Vidyaranya Swamiji talks about that, he mentions this, that both the Vyavaharam and Krishna Bhakti has to go together, not one or the other. That is the difficult thing, isn't it? And he gave the example, Pungani Punga Vishayekshana Talparyobi Brahmava Loga Dishanana Jahadi Yogi Sangeeta Thala Laya Nirtya Vasham Gadavi മൗലിസ്ഥ കുംഭ പരിരക്ഷണധി നടീവ ദാറ്റ് എക്സാമ്പിൾ ഓഫ് വിമൻ ഡാൻസിംഗ് വിത്ത് ദ പോട്ട്സ് ഓൺ ദി ഹെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദേ ആർ ഏബിൾ ടു ബാലൻസ് ഇറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദ സെയിം ടൈം ഡാൻസ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു ദ മ്യൂസിക് ആൻഡ് ദ ബീറ്റ്സ് സോ സിമിലർലി ബ്രഹ്മാവ് ലോകദിഷണാണ് ജഹാദി യോഗി യോഗി ഹൂ ഈസ് അഡ്വാൻസ്ഡ് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഹി ഈസ് ഓൾവേസ് ഹിസ് അറ്റൻഷൻ ഈസ് ഓൺ ദി സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ but vyavaharam will continue in this world brahmava loka dishana bhagavatam also uses the word brahmava loka dishanam brahmava loka dishana means always fixed on that truth always in the inquiry of the spiritual truth or self realization in other words brahmava loka dishana na jahadi yogi yogi will not give that up at any time at the same time vyavaharam will continue in this world So similarly, even if he is executing karma in this world, still as an undercurrent, this Krishna consciousness is working as inside him. Inside that person, he is the devotee. Krishna talks about that, that kind of devotee. Because sometimes due to prarabdham, a person may be thrown in different situations in this world. You can't do anything about it. That is due to prarabdham. You can see all of us are in different prarabdhams going through. Not one person is exactly in another person's situation. So this prarabdham is such a thing that it will pull us through that in life all the time in that way. But even let that carry on, but at the same time, whatever vyavaharam one has to do, still ananya cheta satatam. That is Krishna's point. So, whatever that come vyavaharam comes according to prarabdham he will do that but when the vyavaharam is finished or prarabdham is over the vastu will drop away and the mind will go to krishna that is why krishna is saying yomam smarati nityasha so such a person who is without any interruptions is absorbed in Krishna, in the inquiry of the soul. For them, Krishna is saying, tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina, for such a person. And Krishna calls him as a yogi. So, while he is executing this vyavaharam also in this world, inside, the attention is still on the soul. He never moves away from that. Because he is so convinced that that is the truth inside. And the Antaryami's presence there. Always being constantly in touch with the Antaryami. Never to forget. When we say never forget Krishna for a moment means that Antaryami inside is controlling the activities. So for a moment even the mind is not away from the self-realization process. So this you can see in many many cases. Majority of the people who have come through Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Bhakti Margam, they are all followed this process, pattern. There was no difference at all. Among the great personalities. They have traveled all over the acharyas. If you look at them, they were traveling all over the country. And they were debating. They were writing books. They were opening temples. But attention is always in Krishna. Attention is always in Krishna. Because let the body do the work. Whatever it has to do according to the prarabdham. But Vidyaranya Swamiji says, Pungalu Punga Vishayakshana Talparobi. Although their attention may appear as though they are dealing with senses and sense objects, but Brahmava Loka Dishanam na Jahadi Yogi. Brahmava Loka Dishanam will not go away from there. In other words, our attention, Shraddha, will not go away from the Swarupam. So, Krishna calls it as Nitya Yuktasya Yogi. Nitya Yukta they are. Fully fixed. All the time. Others are Anitya Yukta, who come, who do for a couple of hours and go, and then busy with the rest of the world, and then they come again after a few days for another year, hour or so, who are doing alternatively, this or the other. That is Anitya Yukta. Nitya Yukta means always attention is in the soul and self-realization, which means Antaryami or Krishna, and at the same time, they can manage the vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam will continue in this world. In other words, whatever vyavaharam you may do in this world, whatever vyavaharam you may conduct in this world, that yoga sthiti able to maintain that. That is the important thing. Able to maintain that yoga state. That is a yoga state. That whatever business activities you may perform in this world, still never to move away from that yoga sthiti. Not yoga sthiti, yoga sthiti. So, it can happen in Bhakti Margam or in the Jnana Margam. What has happened is in Bhakti Margam process, you are handing over the mind and body to Krishna. You hand over the mind and body to Krishna. So, in other words, handing over everything to Krishna and leave it to Krishna to decide what he wants to do with it. And that means that completely surrendered state of consciousness, state of mind. So, in Jnana Margam, the difference is that if you got that attention on the soul, like we mentioned all the time going back towards that center, and all the time our attention falling on that center, from where the mind was born, from where the false ego was born, from all the thought waves are coming, and all the time we are able to connect with that center, that is the Jnana Margam. Jnana Margam, even then also the same situation will come to that person. Also, just like in the Bhakti Margam. Bhakti Margam is simply Sharanagati, completely surrendering to Krishna, handing over the body, mind, and all the prarabdham that also comes with it, hand over to Krishna. It is prarabdham and accept it that way and live in this world. That is Bhakti. That is Bhakti. In the Jnana Margam, constantly inquiring after who is behind this. Where is this coming from? Andaryami, recognition of the Andaryami inside. That is Bhakti. That is the Jnana Margam process. Jnana Margam process. So, you can see here that there was one mother who became a great yogini in later times. Early life was great distress for her in her life. Great distress for her in her life. So, remaining as a householder, she managed to reach that state. She was at home, running the family, looking after the children. At the same time, attention is on the soul. Self-realization. Imagine that. There are many people in this world. They don't go out and propagate about themselves. But they execute spiritual life very carefully at home. The seriousness in their heart about spiritual life was such that she was busy managing the home till the time she had to manage it. At one point, she was able to come out of it. Till that time, she managed it happily. And but at the same time, always attention is on the soul. So, she had great difficulty in her householder life. In her householder life. Husband was a doctor. But what happened was, he had to come to Ramanashramam nearby into a hospital as a doctor. He had to come there. So by chance they heard about Ramana Maharshi and went to the ashram there. And as soon as she saw Ramana Maharshi, she felt in her inside that there is a connection with him. That she goes up to him. And she was, in them days, it was very difficult to freely mix men and women. Was not possible. It was kept very strict about the relationships. So in the ashram also, women will live separately, and also they will have very limited opportunity to talk to Maharshi about things. That was a system then. So, what happened was, when she saw Maharshi, she thought that I had got some shelter in that person. Just by seeing him, she felt that happiness in him. So what happened was that in the early childhood, she had a great attraction for spiritual life. Very great attraction for spiritual life. So her sister was married to this doctor first. And the sister died. And in them days, it was quite possible that there was no choice or anything given to the girls. That nowadays, everybody makes their own decisions, isn't it? In them days, it wasn't like that. So, the family decided that the younger sister should be married to the doctor. So, the elder sister died. So, the younger sister was married to the doctor. So, it so happened that ഡ്യൂ ടു ദി പൂർവ സംസ്കാരം, ദാറ്റ് സംസ്കാരം ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇസ് ഈ വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു ജഡ്ജ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദി സ്വഭാവം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. സംസ്കാരം വിൽ ബി ഡിഫറെൻ്റ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. സ്വരൂപം ആൻഡ് സ്വഭാവം ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്. But from the swabhavam you can see the samskaram inside. The swabhavam will dictate a person's samskaram inside, what samskaram the person has got. So due to this purva samskaram, from the childhood itself, this lady had a attraction for self realization, yogasthiti. So but due to no connection with a proper spiritually realized soul, she was suffering. Nobody to guide her which direction to go, and a lot of conflicts inside, and she was living like that for a long period of time. Lot of conflicts inside, what I should do, because she got now married and householder life wasn't much of a attraction for him, but then the duties of a householder life is also there. Janaki was her name, and she was going through this situation inside this conflict. On the other hand, because them days people had one good thing, they will all always manage to collect some important books in spiritual life, like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Yoga Vasishtam, things like that. And these ladies had an opportunity to read all of them at home and acquire something from that culture easily. So she had that difficulty, and she wanted to discuss with someone what she should do. One side the householder life, on the other side the mind is attracted for self-realization. So these two things have becoming a conflict inside. So without knowing which way to go, she was wandering around when she came there, and she wanted to speak to Ramana Maharshi about this. But every time when she looks, there's always people there. No time, there's always people around. No privacy at all, because it was, his life was 24 hours a public life, 24 hours, and all the time there were people there. And Maharshi was also like that, so freely absorbed in people's spiritual interests like that. But the interesting thing was, even though he was in the middle of so many people, his own attention was always inside the Antaryami, so never moved away from there. So she waited for a proper opportunity to talk to him. She didn't know how to put it to him, this conflict going on inside. One side, householder life. The other side, self-realization. Two things are not matching, isn't it? It's always a problem for everybody. Whether this or that, isn't it? Comes to that stage. So one day, Maharshi had some assistant who told her, because she has been asking him, when is the right time for me to speak to him on alone that time. So Maharshi was going for his, after his meal, midday meal, he went for a walk at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day for a circumambulation of the hill in Tirunamalai. And while he was going, that was a good time, go after him and start talking to him, he said to her like that. And when he was walking, this assistant was also going with him. So Janaki went after them to talk to Maharshi about it. And when the assistant understood that Janaki wants to speak to him in confidence, so he moved away from there, allowing her to talk freely with the Maharshi. So they were walking together along the circumambulation of the hill. Like Govardhana Hill, it's another big hill there. So, so she told these things about them, that she says to him, I don't know how to live my householder life, she said to him. Because she was very much looking for escaping from this complicated life in this world. She says to him, that I do not know how to continue with my householder life, she says to him. And I have to perform all the dharma, which is related to the householder ashram. And here, on the other hand, in the adhyatmam, in the spiritual life also, I want to be absorbed in this side, but I don't know how to do this, he said. So please help me in this situation, he said. So Maharshi thought for a minute and told her that, you hand over yourself to me and hand over the body to do its activity. In other words, you have to do it both together. Body has to function in this world. You can't stop the functioning of the body. Whatever it has to do, it will come and go, it will come and go, so many things in this world. Let the body do its activity, but the soul, let that be fixed on the truth. Let that be fixed on the truth. So, body is meant for vyavaharam, but shariram, or the the body is meant for vyavaharam, but you, the soul inside, has to come back to me for the attention. So we can, in other words, the body, he was saying, its rightful place is, it belongs to the world. The body rightfully belongs to the world, Maharshi says to her. Therefore, give the body to the world. Give the body to the world. So whatever dharma it has to do in this world, in householder life, let it do like that. But at the same time, the soul belongs to Krishna. Soul belongs to Krishna. So, and don't worry about it. And the mother, Janaki says like this about this, all my conflicts disappeared after the Maharshi said this to me. All that conflicts has gone from inside. This is the power of a jnani. When jnani speaks something like that, and if you get an instruction like that from a realized soul, it will completely take away all our doubts from inside. Never the doubt has happened to her again in her life. So, therefore, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke, Krishna is saying there, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Lokam, Jiva Bhuda Sanadana, Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakristani Karshadi. Mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, all this belongs to Prakriti. So we have to leave that to Prakriti to deal with it. We always should think that I have nothing to do with them. I belong to another Krishna's aspect. I belong to Krishna. So if we keep fixing this idea inside us, we separate ourselves in this way, that I have nothing to do with it. It's body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses doing the job in this world. If we keep on convincing ourselves in that way, one day they will go in their way and we'll go our way, separated from that. This is all a question of acceptance inside. In the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions that. So, Jiva has no sambandham, no connection with any of these things. We, in the Bhakti Margam, we belong to Krishna. We belong to Krishna. Because if we do that, that very moment, all we have to do is to recognize, accept this, that my permanent relationship is with Krishna, not with the body, or not with the world. Not with the world. Recognition is enough. That is the principle in the Shastra. We have talked about this before also, like how important this recognition is, isn't it? Recognition makes everything. So, just like you can see, a man, woman gets married. Before that, they didn't know each other. Suddenly, they met with each other. Marriage was arranged. They got married. And they don't know anything each other before. They don't know at all. But after marriage, what happens? He accepted her that this is my wife. And she has accepted he is my husband. That's all it is. From that day onwards, without anybody, they don't have to perform any ceremonies or anything to accept each other as husband and wife. Isn't it? They don't have to chant that this is my husband, this is my husband, or this is my wife, this is my wife. No, they don't. But without anything, as soon as the marriage ceremony was done, and it was arranged and done with it, the next year onwards, they behave as though they are husband and wife. Isn't it? They'll be visiting relations or going to others or going anywhere they go together as husband and wife. So how this has come? And few days before, they didn't even know each other. So it's an amazing thing, this thing called acceptance. Just that they have accepted it, that I am husband and wife. But the interesting thing is, there is no meditation there. There is no thoughts behind it, certification or anything that you are husband and wife. It's not we after the marriage and acceptance, then we go and get the registration done. isn't it? That I'm husband and wife. That is for the world purpose. Vyavaharam reasons. We do that. But otherwise, marriage was not done by registration or marriage was not done by anything else. It's just a question of the husband and wife accepting each other. That relationship has come. Mutual relationship has come. This is a material thing. This example. So, people may ask the question, oh, that is because a man and woman has an affinity each other. Therefore, it has come like that. They may argue in that way. But, this affinity between man and woman is a temporary thing. That's also not permanent. Earlier, there may be some affinity, but after a while, that also goes away, isn't it? But if it can happen in your ordinary mundane relationship, Krishna is saying to us, the relationship between Krishna and the individual soul is nitya sambandham. It is permanent. Is much more stronger than the marriage relationship. Marriage relationship all finishes with this particular body, isn't it? But our relationship with Krishna is eternal. It is eternal, isn't it? That is why it is meant nitya sambandham, it says. Nitya sambandham it is. From time immemorial, this relationship was existing. Only thing is we have forgotten that. We have accepted so many other relationships in this world. So, their question is, but if you recognize this relationship, why will not happen the same thing again? If you establish the same way, if you start thinking, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke, Krishna is saying to us, if we accept this and go back to that state again, thinking that the only connection I have in this world is with Krishna, nobody else, with Antaryami inside, Krishna inside, that is our permanent connection. If you go back to that, and if you recognize that, Krishna is saying that is the way to go further in spiritual life, to accept that relationship. So the moment we accept that, permanent relationship will come back with Krishna. So therefore, even in your mind, if that thought hasn't come, say for example, I'm not able to think like that, that Krishna, I'm related with Krishna, I have a connection with Krishna. Even then, you may not think in that way, but in life you will see a big change happening if you accept that relationship with Krishna. So, and that is why we mentioned before also, when Priyam comes from inside, you will see that relationship with Krishna getting strengthened, and that will also come to the Vyavaharam also. This is how that happens. That means those people who are able to execute Vyavaharam as well as the spiritual life same time together, their greatest success was they have accepted their relationship with Krishna first. Because they have accepted that, the flow of that will even come to Vyavaharam also in your transactions in this world. It will come back. Ramanujacharya mentions this. He says here, just like a chaste woman, how she remembers her husband, similarly, in the same way, a devotee has to remember Krishna. Such a strong connection with Krishna. So, when one does anything in this world, does that pleases Krishna? This should be the first consideration in life. Anything what we do in this world, is it pleasing to Krishna? This thought has to come inside. And that thought will take over at the end. And in an unconscious level, that will continuously influence our activities in this world. If we develop acceptance, if we accept this, recognize this acceptance of Krishna, our connection with Krishna. If we build that bridge with Krishna as Krishna's part and parcel, as Bhagavad Gita says, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That's why that verse was spoken. It's only for this purpose, to make us recognize that connection with Krishna. Because normally what happens is most of us think Krishna is in the temple, or that's all we know about Krishna, isn't it? We go to the temple, pay our obeisances, and whatever the rituals we have to do, we do that. But it doesn't go beyond than that. But in order that to permeate that into individual's life, Krishna is saying that your connection with me is long lasting and from time immemorial. But what has happened to us is all the temporary connections that has come while we have got this body, we have made that as our permanent connections. And instead of the temporary connections, we are taking it as a permanent one, and the permanent one, we are completely ignoring that. That is the point there. So, what Krishna says here is that such a devotee, he pulls me together. He controls me, he says. So, sastriyam salpadim yadha vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya. If you look into the Bhagavadam, you know what happened? Our Durvasava Maharshi went to Vaikuntham to see, after Ambarish Maharaj, if you look into the 9th canto, you will see there. In the 9th canto, fourth chapter, so Durvasava Maharshi, after Sudarshana disc was chasing him, is it not? So Durvasava started running everywhere for shelter, and he went to Vaikuntham. When he got there, Krishna was there. Krishna says to Durvasava Maharshi, that is the verse number 66 in the 4th chapter. He says, Aham mai narbaddha hridaya sadhava samadarshana vashi kurvandi mam bhaktiya sal striya satpadim yatha. Krishna says to Durvasava Maharshi, Aham bhakta paradhinaha astadandram ivadvaja sadhava grastha hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya. I am under the control of the devotees. Krishna says to Durvasava Maharshi and says to him, sadhava grastha hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya, that my heart is always with them. They have completely bought me. I can't come out from there. I can't escape from them, he says. Then he says in the 66th verse, mai narbhadda hridaya sadhava samadarshanaha vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya sal striya salpadim yathaha. He says here, mai narbhadda hridaya, those who are completely fixed in me, he says. Those who are completely fixed in me. My narbhadda hridaya. And what else? Sadhava samadarshanaha. Then samadarshanam, that is the quality of that devotee. These are talking about devotees who are devotees in the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That kind of devotees Krishna is talking about. Niravaksham, munim, shandam, all the qualifications what Krishna talks about. So, such a person, Krishna is saying, Vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya, sat sriya satpadim yadha, he says. Vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya, that through bhakti, they have pulled me inside. Exactly like a very chaste wife, how she controls her husband. Sal sriya salpadim yadha. Those who have seen good householder life, they will understand what that means. Isn't it? Very good householder life. Those who have seen, householder life is not like our householder life. Our householder life is always problems from beginning to end, isn't it? But here, what in the Vedic times and in the times when the proper grastas, very great sages, Atri and Anasuya and all that, there were such personalities, were they not? What was their attraction? Their attraction was that even though in the householder life, the goal was self-realization. That was the beauty of that householder life. They were all householders. All these great personalities, if you look, many of them are householders. Is it not? Mariji, Kashyapa Prajapati, and Atri, Angiras, Kardama Prajapati. They are all perfect examples of householders. But what was the beauty? Both the husband and wife, completely fixed in the truth, in realizing the self. Prithu Maharaj story, Archis and Prithu. Beautiful story in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? How proper householder life to be executed. Similarly, Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi. So you can see from there that they were, although they were householders, they were not suffering in this world. Why? They were completely fixed on the truth. Only fixed on the truth. So that is why he says here, Satstriya Satpadim Yatha. Particularly, you can read, when you read Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti's householder life, because they were so serious about spiritual life. Apparently, you can read in the Bhagavatam, after they got married, for the first 6 months, husband hasn't spoken one word to the wife. That's how serious they were. That's how serious they were in spiritual life. For 6 months, he didn't have time to speak to her. In nowadays, what do they do? First thing, as soon as you get married, you can see this example, no time for anything spiritual life then. Everything forgotten. All that's at the old age, after 50 you will start. And so up to that time you go to temple, you hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but after the marriage, finished. Everything stopped then. There's no time for anything anymore after that. Then when it comes back again, after getting a lot of kicks from this world, from all directions, getting sick, bodily problems, and family problems, children not listening anything, everything gets into a mess, then you start again taking Bhagavad Gita and start looking at it. What does it say now? This is our spiritual life, is it not? That's when we become again a little bit serious back into it. But they were not like that. Best example is this Kardama Prajapati's and Devahuti Devi's marriage. You know what it says in the Bhagavatam about that marriage? If you look into the third canto, it's just that Sandarbhiyam. It's just an opportunity to remember that. That great personalities, their beautiful householder life. He says there, in that marriage, when Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti Devi was a princess, wasn't he? The daughter of the Swayambhuva Manu. And Kardama Prajapati's, what was his wealth? He had no money. Was living in the forest, no house even, and he has made one parnashala with the leaves and the with the branches of the tree. He has built something. And she decided to stay with him. She decided to stay with him. So he says here, while talking about that marriage, that this is the most important part of that, that the marriage happened. And Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa were leaving them after the marriage. They handed over, this was the first marriage, and you can see how simple that marriage was. We will read Bhagavad and then we will go and splash some £500,000 on the marriage very happily. We will read Bhagavad also, but what do we understand then? It says here, Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi. If you look in the 15th verse, in the 22nd chapter, 3rd canto, Bada Krishiruvaja, Krishiruvaja, Bada Modvodukamoham, Apramatta Chadaval Majam, Avayor Anirubaso, Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi, Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi. This was the first marriage that has happened. So, this Vivaha Vidhi, it says, Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi. So, this marriage, I want to get married. Kardama Prajapati is saying to Swayambhu Manu, I want to get married and let this marriage happen. But this vidhi, what I am going to follow here, let this remain as the understanding for the conducting marriages. Conducting marriages. Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi. That is the principle behind that. So, Devahuti Devi came and got married, she was very, looked very good because lived a very good life in the palace, well cared for. But after living 6 months here in the forest, she was very skinny and lost all the beauty, everything. But due to serving that Kardama Prajapati, serving Kardama Prajapati in his spiritual life, she acquired tremendous happiness. And Kardama Prajapati was immensely pleased with her, with that service. And later on you will see here, if you go further in the same chapter, verse 37, they're talking about Swayambhu Manu, the father of Devahuti, Devi's father, how he was. Shariram manasa divya vayase yajamanusha bhaudigascha katham klesha bhadande harisam shrayam. That is an important comment there from Sudeva Goswami, says about Ayodayamastasyasan Yamaswandraya Ayapanaham, verse 35, same chapter. Shrunvado Dhyayado Vishnu Kurvado Bruvadakadaha. This was Swayambhu Manu's life. Swayambhu Manu lived like that. What is that? Ayodayamastasyasan Yamaswandrayapanaham. In other words, that always this Swayambhu Manu had one nature. Ayadayamastasyasan yamam swandrayabana. In other words, continuously hearing about Krishna. Continuously hearing about Krishna. And it was not always hearing, sometimes singing about Krishna, sometimes dancing about, hearing about Krishna's glories, and sometimes, like the gopis, engaged in the activities in a drama form he used to act. It is only very rare devotees have done that, who will perform the pastimes of Krishna like in a drama. He himself will do the acting like Krishna's form. So that's why Shrunvado Dhyayado Vishnu Kurvado Bhruvadakadaha. Hearing about Krishna, meditation on Krishna, and also Bhruvadakadaha. Kurvado Bhruvadaka. Sometimes, like in the drama, he was acting in that way. And then he says here in the 37th verse, if you look, you will see, he says to Vidura, Maitreya Maharshi is saying this to Vidura. This is the important message there. Sharira manasa divya vayase yajamanushaha baudhigascha katham klesha bhadande harisamshrayaha. Shariram manasam divyam vayase yajamanusha. So, because Swayambhu Manu lived like that, never once he got sick. He never got sick once. He had no problems with his body, never had any problems with his mind. And he then called, or all other miseries of this world never disturbed him. Never disturbed him. And then Maitreya Maharshi is asking Vidura, Bhautikascha katham klesha bhadande harisamshraya. It's a beautiful question. One who has taken such a shelter of Krishna, where is the question of any material distress coming to him? Maitreya is asking this to Vidura. Bhautikascha katham klesha bhadande harisamshraya. It's a very important message. In other words, even in householder life, distress will come. There is no question about that. Distress will come. But what is a good thing? It won't affect you if you remain in this way. Distress will definitely come. That you can't help. That's a part of the householder package. You have to take it. But the good thing about this is, it won't hurt you. Only if it disturbs you, you have to worry about it, isn't it? If it comes and goes, what does it matter? But most of the cases, what happens is, when something disaster happens, then we get very upset, and then we start thinking, oh, I spent so many time chanting the Hare Krishna and wasted a lot of time. I should have done something better. So many things mind will dictate at that time. So in order that distress should not disturb a person, that is why Maitreya Maharshi is saying that to Vidura. Bhaudiyascha katha klesha bhadande hari samshraya. Where is the question? It's an important lesson in the Bhagavatam to the householder. First of all, this marriage of Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi's marriage was shown in the Bhagavatam to live how one should approach householder life. That is what the idea behind that. How to approach the householder life. That means prior to that, he says so many things, there isn't it? Kardama Prajapati, how he got involved in the marriage. Before that, he performed so much austerities and penances, prepared himself ready for the marriage. Therefore, when he got married also, attachment wasn't there. He couldn't get pulled by material happiness. Not only that, if you look into their household life, even later, the household life they led, that standard you can never imagine. Separately, aeroplanes were sent from Vaikuntham and they were traveling in all the universes to the heavenly planets. And Nandanam, Chaitraratham and so many places where demigods enjoy their life. And this aeroplane was carrying them. And both of them were given such bodies that they were able to enjoy their household life to a very higher level. But never a time Kardama Prajapati left spiritual life. He comes back to it after children were born, and finally Kapila Maharshi was born, and then he leaves everything and walks away without any difficulty from home, leaving home, without any difficulty in leaving home. That strength, where did he get that from? Because of the proper way of execution of householder life. That's where it's coming from. So, while why we were saying that was, they were like that. Vashi kurvandi mam bhaktya salstriya salpadim yatha. Krishna says this to whom? Krishna says this to Durvasa Maharshi. Salstriya salpadim yatha. Such people, I cannot do anything about it. These devotees are like these women who have completely took control of their husbands due to their austerities and proper householder life. Salstriya salpadim yatha. So that was mentioned there. And then, Salsriya Salpadim Yatha, he says. So that devotee is always thinking in terms of spiritual life and self-realization all the time, every moment in life. This is what is expected, those who are serious in spiritual life. Is that pleasing Krishna? Is that pleasing Krishna? And all their movements in this world is centered around that. And will be controlled by remembrance of Krishna at every moment. And so that is what, that way of life is what Krishna mentions in that verse. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha. It means that. It means that 24 hours, everything what they do will have some relationship with Krishna. At every action when it is executed in this world, any karma, underneath that as an undercurrent, Krishna consciousness will be there. That's the way they operate behind that. So, Omam Smarati Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. And Krishna says here, for him, Sulabha. Sulabha means very easily available. That means, that's what it means. What does that mean? That easily available means that from inside, Krishna as Antaryami will start revealing this to him, that I am here. I am here inside. The realization will start coming to him. So if you talk about that, this is from the Jnanamargam, all this is. Asyaham Sulabha Partha Nityasya. If you come into the bhakti process, how does it work? That is the next question, isn't it? And the best example in the Bhagavadam is Mahabali's story. Mahabali's story. Mahabali's case, what happened was, Mahabali, Krishna gave him a blessing, isn't it? Mahabali handed over everything to Krishna. That everybody knows what Mahabali has done, isn't it? Vamana Murti, Mahabali handed over all his assets to Krishna first. And Vamanamurti took over all that and says, and in through two steps he took control of Mahabali's all assets. And then third step he said, where do I put my third step? And then Mahabali had no place, and Vamanamurti says to him, to our Garuda, you with the Varuna Pasham, you tie him down with the rope of Varuna. It's a mantra involved pasham, binding somebody with the mantra. That is his Varuna Pasham. He tied him down and he started questioning him. asked him, where is the place, where do I put my third feet? Because he promised 3 feet, I'll give it to you. So by 2 feet, everything was measured. And Mahabali handed over everything to Krishna, there was nothing left. For the third feet, there was no space. That is the situation. So at that time, very interesting thing happened there. All the friends of Mahabali, Mahabali got a lot of friends. Viprachitti, Namula, you will see all their names mentioned. They're funny names also they've got, which you don't hear normally, those names here. So they all got together and they realized it. This Vamanamurthy has come to cheat our boss, Mahabali. So what they said, they wanted to fight straight away. With Vamanamurthy, they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight with Vamanamurthy. And so Vamanamurthy says to them at that time, it's very nice, Vamanamurthy's that quality, you have to notice this here. That special quality of Mahabali, Mahabali's quality, you will observe here. How intelligent he is in seeing things in the proper way. That's why Krishna says, among all the Brahmanas, I am Mahabali, he says. Brahmanyanam balistvam. Krishna says, I am Mahabali among the Brahmanas. Very great qualification, isn't it? Seeing that sharpness in his way of thinking. What happened was, he says to all his friends, don't fight with Vamanamurthy. Do you know who has come? He says to them, do you know who has come? Then, there is no point in fighting with him, he says. Because all our opulences, by now Mahabali had a lot of wealth, because he has taken control of the heavenly planets, everything, isn't it? Indra has gone away from there, has to go because there was no choice. Shukracharya was so pleased that Mahabali went to heavenly planets and there was no necessity for a war even. They handed over everything and Mahabali took control of the heavenly planets, higher planets, lower planets, everything under Mahabali's control. So Mahabali says to him, why do you fight? He says to him, all our wealth and opulences, we have got it here. He has given it to us. Do you know that? He says to them. He has given it to them. he says, remember this, he says to them, that it is he who has given all of this to us. Now the person who has given it to us, he is taking it back. And when he gave it to us, we didn't tell him we don't want it. We took everything happily. He says, Mahabali says this in the Bhagavatam. He says, but when he is taking it back, why you fight? He has given it to us. Mahabali is talking about Vamanamurthy. So Mahabali was so clear in his head, everything belongs to Krishna. That conviction inside, even though Mahabali had all the 3 planetary systems under his control, you can see who is better now, Indra or Mahabali. Indra always thought it is mine. When, after killing Narakasura, Satyabhama and Krishna went to heavenly planets and took one Parijada branch of a tree, because Satyabhama wanted to have Parijada tree in Dwaraka, and seeing that Parijadam in heavenly planet, Satyabhama told Krishna that I would like to get a branch of that tree to plant in Dwaraka. She was so attracted to the Parijada flower. That time, when Krishna took that, took a branch and brought it with them, and Indra started fighting with Krishna, saying that you are taking without asking me. We are not given it. Krishna, Indra doesn't like it. All that things to come to this world. So this is Indra, supposed to be a devotee. And here is Mahabali, who is the head of the demons. He is saying to his associates that, who has given it to us, all these things in the first instance? Now, when he gave it to us, none of us said, oh, no, we don't want it. We all took it very happily. So he is taking it back now. So why should we fight? He gave it to us and now he is taking it back. It is his at the end. So, ye Prabhu, if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see how he puts it like that. 8th canto, 21st chapter, verse 20. Yaha Prabhu സർവഭൂതാനാം സുഖദുഃഖോപപത്തയെ തം നാദിവർത്തിതും ദൈത്യ പൗരുഷേ ഈശ്വര പുമാൻ. മഹാബലി സേസ് ദിസ്, ഈ സേസ് യ പ്രഭു സർവദുഃഖാനാം സുഖദുഃഖോപപത്തയെ ഹൂ ഗീവ്സ് ഓൾ ഹാപ്പിനെസ്, വി ഗെറ്റ് അവർ ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ബിക്കോസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഗിവ്സ് ഇറ്റ് ടു അസ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വെയർ വി ഗെറ്റ് അവർ ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഫ്രം, ഇസ്നിറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്? When we feel happy, where is that happiness coming from? From Krishna, inside. When he gives it, we get it. Otherwise, you won't feel happy, isn't it? Similarly, he is capable of giving happiness and distress equally. And nobody, he says here, Ya prabhu sarvabhudanam sukha-dukha-upabhattaye tam na adivartitam daitya pavirushai ishwara puman. You cannot, by your own effort, at no point in time, you can go beyond than that. In other words, whatever Krishna has decided, how much happiness you should have and how much distress you have, Krishna has made the decision. And that's what you are getting, he says here. Tam na adivartitam puma daitya. He says to his friends, you cannot go beyond than that. You can't do anything about it. Paurusha ishwara puman. Through your paurusham, paurusham means your own effort, if you think that you can change that, it is not possible. Mahabali was so clear about this thing in himself. That is why Krishna gave Mahabali the greatest benediction, which even Prahlada didn't get. Even Prahlada didn't get. That is why you can see among the 12 Mahajans, Mahabali is one, isn't it? Mahabali is one of the greatest Mahajans. And also, about this nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, and the last one, Atmanivedanam. For Atmanivedanam, Mahabali is the example. Just see how Krishna has glorified him. Ya Prabhu Sarvabhudanam, that verse is important. Mahabali is teaching us something. He's the head of the demons. He is telling us, Ya Prabhu Sarva Dukhanam, Prabhu Sarva Bhudanam, Sukha Dukhopapathaye, Tamna Adivartidam Daitya, Paurushe Ishwara Puman. We must be very, very convinced on this, that our Paurusham, our effort will not. Suppose sometimes somebody becomes very rich or very wealthy or feeling success in life. It is sanctioned by Krishna. That is what it is. It's sanctioned by Krishna. And similarly, distress also is sanctioned by Krishna. He is the one who is deciding that. Na adivartidam daitya pavirushe ishwara puman. He says there, like that, isn't it? Then he says, Yo no bhavaya pragasil abhavaya divaukasam sa eva bhagavan adya vartade tad vipadyayam. So, earlier, Mahabali had no right for the heavenly planets, isn't it? He had no right for the heavenly planets. But he was able to get all of that, heavenly planets. He performed 99 Ashwamedham sacrifice under Shukracharya's instructions. And then Shukracharya told him, you go with your army and fight with Indra, you will get the heavenly planets, he said. But while going, Shukracharya told him, even a fighting may not be necessary. Indra will go before that. And at that time, Mahabali's grandfather, Prahlada, was there. So he went up to Prahlada and asked for his blessings. Mahabali asked for his blessings. Prahlada gave his blessings to him. Vijayi Bhava. If Prahlada blesses someone, what does it mean? Narasimha Murthy's blessing it is, isn't it? The greatest devotee of Narasimha Murthy is blessing him. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see that blessing there. How he blessed Mahabali at that time. And after that blessing, he says to him that you may not have to fight a war. So he goes there and he puts his Prahladam. Prahladam Amandra Namaschakara. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this. Prahladam Amandra Namaschakara. That Prahlada blessed Mahabali that you go and fight and everything will be okay. But there was no need to fight even. Before Mahabali arrived there, everybody left the place and went away. Everybody left the place and went away. So that is what has happened there. So, anyway, so so
what is that? Yes. What is it?
415 chapter.
815.
Yeah, if you look in the seventh verse, you will see that sixth verse, if you look, how Mahabali got heavenly planets under control. In the sixth verse, it says, Dhanuscha divyam puradobanadham trinavari tunavarito kavajam jadivyam pidamahastasya dadau jamala amlana pushpam jalajam jashukraha. Shukra Maharshi, Shukracharya, took a garland and put it on Mahabali's neck and told him, only when this garland fades or the flowers becomes, fades its freshness, only at that time your face will also become, you will feel depressed. Up to that time you will be a happier person. This was a blessing from who? From Shukracharya. Amlana pushpam jalajamja shukra. That's what it says here. See, Amlana pushpam jalajamja shukra. And that Shukra Maharshi gave him a conchal and told him, you can blow this conchal and this flower garland will never fade. It will always remain very fresh, he said. The day the flowers fade, that day your face will also become depressed like that. He gave a blessing like this. Shukra Maharshi was so confident about it, because by now so many sacrifices were performed and he has pleased Shukra Maharshi, Shukracharya, by performing those sacrifices. Mahabali, see that bhakti in the Shukracharya. We say Shukracharya was his spiritual master. And then after that he goes to, what did Mahabali do? This was another important thing. Mahabali's that intelligence. Mahabali says, evam sa viprarjita yodhanartham staikalpitasya stainodha vipran. Then, pradakshini kritya krita pranama prahlada mamandra namas chakaraham. Prahlada was sitting there in the assembly. So, and Mahabali, wearing that garland, go and with all the weapons in the hand, goes to Prahlada and pays his obeisances to Prahlada. Pays his obeisances to Prahlada. Then it says, evam saviparjila yodhanartham saikalpidastas toine odha vipran. Then, pradakshini kritya krita pranama Prahlada ma mandra namaschakara. And he circumambulated Mahabali and paid his obeisances to Prahlada. And Prahlada also blessed him. Shukracharya blessed him first and then Prahlada blessed him later. So by now it was more or less sure that when Mahabali was on his way to the heavenly planets, Indra was so frightened that he didn't even wait to have a war with Mahabali. He walked out from there, handed over everything without a fight, as he was told. So here, the important thing what we are mentioning here was that the Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara. So Mahabali's instruction, it is important to know. Ya Prabhu Sarvabhudanam Sukadukhopathe. So that Krishna who is giving us happiness, and that Krishna is giving us distress also. It's not that when distress comes, we say, Krishna is giving distress to me. When happiness comes, no, it's me. That is our approach in life, isn't it? When things go very well, we say, so what Krishna has done? Everything I've done, isn't it? We don't recognize these things in life. We don't understand these things and we don't take notice of these things. Sometimes in life, things go reasonably well without too much trouble. Health, financial situation, or your household life, whatever it is. When it's all going reasonably okay, we think everything I have managed well, that's why it has come like that. No, it's not. It's that Krishna has allowed us that, therefore we got it, that's all. But when distress comes, we put the whole blame on Krishna and says to him that. So, Mahabali's question was, answer to this, his friends was, that whoever has given us happiness till now, by giving us all the heavenly planets everywhere, they had a great time when they got all the heavenly planets, everything. But demons had a great time. Mahabali says to them, when he gave us all that facilities, we didn't tell him, no, we don't want all this facility. We took it happily, is it not? But when he gives us distress now, you are resisting that. That's not correct, he says to him. So when that distress comes, when that distress comes, you can't do anything about it, either by your power or by the austerities or by somebody else's instructions or by your willpower or by other processes like people will take to various other ways, isn't it? To consultations with other people, like you go and consult some psychologist or psychiatrist or somebody, or sometimes people go to astrologers for consolation when great distress comes in life. Or sometimes people buy all these gemology, isn't it? They buy gems and tie them on the hand thinking that it will avoid the situation and all that. Mahabali says here, if you look into that verse, 21st chapter, verse 22. Balena sajivair buddhya durgair mandraushadhadibi samadhi bhirubayaischa kalam natyedivai janaha. That was the Mahabali's instruction. Mahabali says here, you cannot fight with Krishna. That is Mahabali's first thing. That either through your own power or through your intelligence or through other processes like mantram, through the process of mantram, chanting the mantram, aushadham, medical processes or any other processes, you cannot go against the wishes of Krishna, Krishna's decision. Whatever that Krishna has decided, that is what will happen, he says. That he says, Balena Sajivair Buddhya, the same 21st chapter verse 22. Balena Sajivair Buddhya Durgair Mandra Aushadadibi Samadibhi Rubayaischa Kalam Natyedivai Janaha. So that is not possible, he says. Even if you, what does the human being do? Human being does, that when distress comes, these are the ways we try to alleviate the misery. People try to alleviate the misery in this way, by either depending on the doctor or depending on the financial advisor or depending on the lawyer or so many places, a psychiatrist or somebody will go and start consulting. Somebody can help me in my difficult situations. So, but whatever distress comes, nobody will go to Krishna or absorbs in spiritual life. Absorbs in spiritual life. Then he says, therefore, they'll go to astrologers and so many other places. So therefore, in this commentary on this, in the commentary it says, Ashtamidi, Navamidi, Chaturdashidi, Jyotishaha. People will think that by celebrating Ashtami referring to Janmashtami, Navami, Sri Ram Navami, and Chaturdashi, Narasimha Chaturdashi. These are all special days in our calendar, isn't it? So, they will take thinking that by following all that, they will come out of their distress in life. Many people do that. You can see how in religion things become too much rituals comes into it, spiritual life, isn't it? Because they people feel that, oh, if I don't follow Ekadashi, if I don't follow Janmashtami, if I don't follow, then a fear develops inside that Krishna may get upset with me, Krishna will be unhappy with me. And when some distress comes in between in life, you will start thinking, oh, it's only because I didn't follow the rules very strictly. In this way, mind starts interpreting from inside. So, these instructions are there in the Shastram, Upavasam, like fasting on Ekadashi day and many other deity worship and all these things are there. And they have been given to us to bring some attraction for spiritual life. Attraction for spiritual life. They are important, but they are not the most important one. That's the main thing to understand. How quickly we pick up these things very seriously, is it not? You can see this all the time in devotees' life also. They start picking up these special days as the most important days and celebrating them as the success of spiritual life. It is not. It is not. Point is, Shruti Madhav Vedam. Shruti Madhav Vedam. Vedam is our mother, isn't it? Shruti is a Vedam. Shruti Madhav, it is called mother. Shri is saying to us, who is more merciful than thousands of your own mother, who is mother whom, from whom you are born, if you put thousands of them together, how much compassion will they have for the child? More than that is the compassion from the Shruti for the human species. How much compassion? So that Vedam is telling us that the solution to all your problems is inside you. And we won't take it. Even after Shruti has told us, Shruti is telling us, thousands of mothers come together, your actual mother, thousands of them come together, and how much love and affection that mothers will show to you, even more than that is the Shruti is showing to us by telling us that the solution to all the problems is right there inside. Remember that Hridi. Hridi Sannivishta. Krishna is saying there, isn't he? And so Veda Madhav is saying here that Purna Vastu, that Vastu inside for solution to all your problems, if when the Vedam says to us, we won't accept it. We won't believe in that. That is the point. Even then, when the distress comes, you'll go to an astrologer or you'll go to a psychiatrist or somewhere else. And so he says here that when you go to an astrologer or somebody, because in the olden times it was quite common going to astrologers, and there were astrologers also. We don't completely reject astrology. That's not what it means. What it says is that they will astrologers will tell you that. They'll give you a whole list of things, what you have done and what you need to do and all things like that. Because, and quite often you'll notice when the astrologers, you go to them, they'll give a writing and give it to you and you'll start thinking, yes, yes, it's all correct, you will say. Somehow the mind will link so many things that's happened in life with that. So, here, Mahabali says to them, then you can't do anything about all these things. And he says to him, this person who had come here is nobody else than Krishna himself who has come here. And he has given to us on one side, and from the other side he is taking it away. On one side he has given it to us, and on the other side he is taking it away. And that's all. And he says, by taking it away, actually he is bringing us to our senses. He says, it's a big mercy, he says. But when he gives us a lot of wealth and he gives us a blessing, we feel happy. But when he takes all the wealth away and blesses us, we say that he is not very happy with us. Mahabali is analyzing our mind. when Krishna gives us a lot of material happiness and he is blessing us, we think he is doing the real blessing to us. But when he takes away all the material happiness and he is blessing us, we say here that why he is giving us trouble like this. So he has given us the wealth and he has taken it away. So therefore he says, Tvam naha parocha paramo guru. You will see there, he is mentioning there, it is in the next chapter, 22nd chapter. Mahabali's reply after this incident with Krishna, Vamanamurti taking away everything, he says, fourth verse, if you see, Bali and Vamanamurti is having a conversation. There is a lot to understand from these discussions in spiritual life. If you want to understand spiritual life, it says here in the fourth verse, Pumsam shlangyatam ammanye dandam arhatam arpidam yamna mata pita brada surdascha andishandihi tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. You know anega mata andhanam vibramsham chakshuradishad. Fifth verse, it says here, in the fourth verse he says that parents, brothers or friends, they won't give us this punishment. He says to Vamanamurti, they won't give us this punishment what you are giving to us. Because they don't know what is ultimately good for us. Whereas you know. Then he says to him, to us, like an enemy, you are coming in front of us. Who? Vamanamurti. And taking everything away from us. And Vamanamurti says to him, Tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. Because you are doing this to us, you are our spiritual master. Why? Spiritual master is supposed to make a disciple realize not to get attached to anything in this world and come out of this illusion and bring him to his senses. That is the spiritual master's first duty. Otherwise, that relationship has no meaning. If it doesn't help, you know that we sing that song also, isn't it? Samsara dhavan anali. What does it mean? It's the same thing. He says here that Tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. Paroksha paramo guru means paroksham in indirect way, you are our supreme spiritual master. Because you are the person who is doing the right thing for us. Why? What has happened to us? He says, Yono anekam athandhanam vibramsham chakshuradishat. Due to this wealth, what we have got now, we have become so proud and arrogant. And we have lost our spiritual vision. Completely became blind towards spiritual life. Mahabali is saying this. That's what happens when a lot of wealth comes. And if it is not taken away, we will never learn this. You will never become spiritually involved in that. So he says to him that indirectly, you are our guru. You are our spiritual. Paroksha paramo guru, he says here. Tvam noonam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru. Yo no aneka matha andhanam vibramsham chakshuradishan. Then because you have given our eyes, you have opened our eyes to see that all this material opulence is temporary. We should not get pulled by all these things in life. If you have not come and done this to us, we would be simply enjoying the senses and the opulences you have given to us. So Mahabali, Aditi Devi wanted to get everything back for the demigods, isn't it? For Indra and her children. And Vamanamurti agreed, I'll get everything for you. Somehow or the other I'll get it, he said. Payovratam was followed by Aditi Devi for 12 days. And finally, Vamanamurti says to Aditi Devi, Payovratam, everything was done very well. I am pleased about that. But Mahabali is in a very strong position. It's very difficult to get anything out of him. And then Krishna thought about this idea of becoming a brahmachari and coming begging for the 3 feet. And Mahavanamurti came and took everything from Mahabali. Mahabali did not complain at all about it. Mahabali never complained about it. On the other hand, what Mahabali says is that Tvannunam Asuranamna Paroksha Paramo Guru. You are Paroksha Paramo Guru. You know Anega Madandhana Vibramsham Chachuradishad. You are only making us that our dull headed, our dull head, and our we have lost our vision completely in our life, and you have come to give us that shelter. Mahabali is appreciating that, what Vamanamurti has done to Mahabali. Normally people won't be like that, would it? People hold on to everything what they've got, and if Krishna is taking everything away, we'll get very upset about it. But Mahabali was not like that. That is the main thing to point out. And then Mahabali appreciated that to him. And therefore, he says to him, Paroksha Paramo Guru. thinking that this is all mine, this is all mine, and whichever wealth one has becoming, put his attachment, and living in this world, and wherever our ahankaram, false ego, has taken root. That's where it means, isn't it? Attachment anywhere, whether it is wealth, money or property or whatever it is, if we have attachment, where is that attachment? It's false ego inside. It's a false ego that's connecting us with that thing, with that object. So, you have taken everything from me. Mahabali was thinking all of this is mine, isn't it? Three planetary systems. And there's one thing left after this, he says. What is that? I'm separated from him and staying separately from you. That ahankaram, false ego in Mahabali. And that is that third step, what they talk about. Mahabali's false ego. That is that third step. That being separated from Krishna, that ananyatvam has not come to Mahabali yet. That ananyatvam. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That ananyatvam, that being separated from Krishna and existing like that, Mahabali says that is still there in me. And therefore, put your feet on that ego. And that is in a story form it's spoken, that Mahabali showed his head and Krishna put his feet on the head and all that. So, that is what Mahabali says to him. You can see there in the same 22nd chapter, second verse, Yad uttama shloka bhavan mameritam vacho viligam suravaryam anyate karomyaham tanna bhavet pralambhanam padam tritiyam kuru shirshnime nijam. Padam tritiyam, the third step, kuru, please put it on shirshnime nijam. Put it on my head, he says. This is the way of saying in the story. It's just not a physical thing that's happening there. That Mahabali is showing his head and telling Vamanamurti, you put your head on my feet. It's not a physical. What we have to understand there is, Mahabali's false ego completely is handing over to Krishna. That is the significance of that verse. Please do not think otherwise. People sometimes read this and say that, oh Mahabali, when Krishna, Vamanamurti asks, where do I put my third feet? Because everything has been taken away by Vamanamurti, isn't it? So where do I put my third feet? Mahabali showed his head and you can put it on my head, he said. So you may start thinking, what does it mean? That a person who has measured everything, all heavenly planets, earthly planet, everything with 2 feet, for the third feet, he wanted a place to put his third feet, because 3 feet was offered in the first instance, isn't it? So we may think that, oh, for the third feet, to put the feet, he needed a place, so therefore he showed his head. But actually what it means is, that is the story form of expressing that. What actually it means is that Mahabali realized it, that everything I have given, but I still have not given me. Me means what? The ego inside. When you hand that over, it's complete. Then after that, there is nothing else to surrender. So that surrendering that ego to Krishna is what is this third feet. You see there, padam tridiyam kuru shirshnime nijam, he says. Padam tridiyam means the third feet, kuru shirshnime. It is a way of saying in a literal, in a poetic language, like this, that he showed his head and put his feet on me. But actually what has happened is, Mahabali has come to understand that everything is Krishna, including his own body, mind, everything. And when completely surrendered, the whole false ego goes away, and that is that state, Atmanivedanam. What we call as Atmanivedanam, the ninth step in the nine processes. The ninth one is Atmanivedanam, which is the perfection of the all the processes, isn't it? Shravanam, Smaranam, Kirtanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, all of them are meant to lead to this ninth one, Atmanivedanam. So bhakti means nothing but Atmanivedanam, surrendering to Krishna every moment. Everything is Krishna's, nothing is mine, including my body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is Krishna's. This is the perfection of bhakti. So you can see now, bhakti is also not an easy thing, isn't it? People say jnana margam is difficult, karma margam is difficult. Now you see, bhakti margam, is that easy? Nothing is easy. We'll sing that bhakti margam. We say, oh, we have chanted so many rounds now, everything has been done completely. No, you can chant as many rounds as you want, but ultimately, if this Mahabali, the perfect example of Atmanivedanam, what you see here, if this has not happened, all our sadhana has only its own limited strength. Sadhana has its own limitations. We have to recognize that. People put 100% trust in their sadhana, would they not? They think that sadhana, my sadhana, I will get it. This is their mood. You won't get it by sadhana also. You will get by Atmanivedanam. Surrender, you get it. What was the sadhana Mahabali has done? Imagine. What sadhana has he done? He hasn't done any sadhana. But what was great about Mahabali was that surrender in him. That intelligence to surrender like that, that requires the strength. When Shukracharya told him, don't give anything to Avanamurti, Mahabali says to Shukracharya, I know who has come. And he says to him, all these sacrifices, 99 Ashwamedham I have performed, is all to please whom? And when that person comes and asks something, for whose pleasure I have performed all these sacrifices under your direction? He says to Shukracharya, under your direction, all these 99 sacrifices were performed to please Vishnu. And that Vishnu himself has come and asking me something. If I don't give it to him, then what's the use of all the sacrifices? Mahabali, that sharpness in his intelligence and that surrender in him pleased Krishna so much. Therefore, he gave Mahabali a benediction which he hasn't given even to Prahlada. You can see that in the Bhagavatam. So, Mahabali says to him, padam tridiyam kuru shirshnime nijam. And when he said that, Krishna calls him the word Veera. Veera means you are a hero. You are a hero, he says to Mahabali. That Mahabali, he calls him as hero. So, such a blessing or benediction which Krishna has not given to anybody else, I'm going to give that to you, he says. Why? The only qualification Krishna saw in Mahabali was his surrender. That surrender has impressed Krishna very much. Vamanamurti was so impressed by the surrender of Mahabali, he says to him. That is why you will see there in the 35th verse, that is the famous verse in the Bhagavatam, Rakshishye sarvatoham tvam, in the same chapter, 22nd. Rakshishye sarvatoham tvam sanugam saparichadam yada sada sannihidam Veera. Veera, Krishna is saying. Krishna hasn't called anybody Veera so far. First time he calls Mahabali as Veera. It's a very great credit, isn't it? Krishna is so impressed by that, the thought behind that. He calls him Veera. He says, sada sannihidam Veera tatramam drakshade bhavan. He says, not only that you are a Veera, hero, Veera means hero, you are not only a hero, that I am saying, Rakshishye sarvadoham tam sanyugam sabarichadam. I will protect you and I will protect all your members, the family, and ആൻഡ് ഹി സെയ്സ് സാനിധ്യം സംബന്ധിച്ച് സദാ സന്നിഹിതം വീര ഐ വിൽ ഓൾവേസ് ബി പ്രസന്റ് ദർ ആസ് എ ഗേറ്റ് കീപ്പർ ഫോർ യു സ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് ദർ ആൻഡ് യു വിൽ ബി ഏബിൾ ടു സീ മീ ഓൾ ദ ടൈം സ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ആസ് എ ഗേറ്റ് കീപ്പർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസൻ ഡൺ ദിസ് ടു എനിബഡി എൽസ് സോ ഫാർ സദാ സന്നിഹിതം വീര തത്ര മാം ദ്രക്ഷ്യതേ ഭവാൻ ഹി സെയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് മഹാബലി മഹാബലിസ് ഗ്രേറ്റ്നെസ് സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ഹസ് കം ആൻഡ് ഹി സെയ്സ് ഹിയർ ഐ വിൽ പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് യു ആൻഡ് ഐ വിൽ പ്രൊട്ടക്ട് ഓൾ യുവർ അസെറ്റ്സ് ഹി സെയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഹോൾ സുതലം പ്ലാനറ്റ് വാസ് ഗിവൺ ടു മഹാബലി ടു ഗോ ആൻഡ് ലിവ് ദെയർ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദിസ് പെർട്ടിക്കുലർ time of this Indra, Mahabali will come as the next Indra. And after that, Mahabali will go back to the spiritual world. So, whoever is there, everybody will be protected. Not that I'll sit in Vaikuntham or Golokam and protect you. No, I will be standing there outside the gate, he says. And next to you, Sannihidam, Drakshase Bhavan. You may think that you may not believe me what believe me when I am saying that says our Vamanamurti to Mahabali but Drakshase Bhavan he says you will see me standing there outside all the time and my presence you will be able to see for yourself a blessing like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very rare very very rare like this a blessing like this Rakshishye Sarvadoham Tvam സാനുഗം സപരിച്ഛദം സദാ സന്നിഹിതം വീര തത്ര മാം ദ്രക്ഷ്യതേ ഭവാൻ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം ഹാസ് ബീൻ കം ബ്രോട്ട് ദർ ഓൺലി ടു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത വിച്ച് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത യു വിൽ സീ അനന്യശ്ചിന്തയന്തോ മാം ഏജനാം പര്യുപാസതേ തേഷാം നിത്യാഭിയുക്താനാം യോഗക്ഷേമം മഹാമ്യഹം There is a verse which comes in the 9th chapter, I think. Isn't it? I think it is in the 9th chapter, somewhere. To prove that, this story in the Bhagavad. That verse, if you read, what does it say? 922. Yeah. 922. Yeah. Ananyaschindayando mam yojana paryupasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam യോഗക്ഷേമം മഹാമ്യഹം ബട്ട് ദോസ് ഹു വർഷിപ്പ് മീ വിത്ത് ഡിവോഷൻ മെഡിറ്റേറ്റിംഗ് ഓൺ മൈ ട്രാൻസെൻഡൻ്റൽ ഫോം ടു ദം ഐ ക്യാരി വാട്ട് ദേ ലാക്ക് ആൻഡ് പ്രിസേർവ് വാട്ട് ദേ ഹാവ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദി തേഷാം നിത്യാഭിയുക്ത യോഗക്ഷേമം ടു തിങ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് യോഗം ആൻഡ് ക്ഷേമം യോഗം ഈസ് ദ സ്പിരിച്വൽ സൈഡ് ക്ഷേമം ഈസ് ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ സൈഡ് ഓഫ് അവർ ലൈഫ് വി ഹാവ് ഓൺലി ടു ലൈഫ്സ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് One is the material life which we have to live here. So that is Kshemam. Without difficulty we want to get through this world. That is Kshemam. Yoga means after death what will happen. So Krishna is saying here, Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham, I'll take care of that. And that verse, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the real life, this Mahabali is this blessing to Mahabali. രക്ഷിഷ്യേ സർവദോഹന്തം സാനുഗം സപരിച്ഛദം സദാ സന്നിഹിതം വീര തത്രമാം ദ്രക്ഷതേ ഭവാൻ ദിസ് വൺ വേഴ്സ് ഇസ് കണക്റ്റഡ് ടു ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സെയിം വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ എ ലിറ്റിൽ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് വേ വാട്ട് വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് നൗ വിച്ച് വൺ അനന്യചേത സതതം യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ തസ്യാഹം സുലഭ പാർത്ത നിത്യയുക്തസ്യ യോഗിനാം ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് So what both verses are talking about ananya bhakti have you noticed that ananya cheta sadadam yomam smarade nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yoginam and here it says ananya chindayandomam yojanam paryupasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham so you can see the importance of that ananya bhakti that is the main thing to learn in this verses Ananyatvam has to come. Like Mahabali had that Ananyatvam, isn't it? No ashrayam, everything handed over to Krishna without any further question. That faith, that surrender, Sharanagati and Shraddha in Mahabali, Krishna appreciated that and took control of Mahabali and handed over, protected him from everything. So here, വിത്ത് ആൻ അനന്യ ഭക്തി, കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് വിത്ത് ആൻ അനന്യ ഭക്തി വൺ ഹൂ റിമെമ്പേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ. അനന്യ ചേത സതതം യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ. ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി അറ്റ് ദ വെരി മോമെന്റ് ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ് യു ഹവ് റീച്ച്ഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇഫ് യു ഹവ് ഡൺ ദാറ്റ്. ഇഫ് യു ഹവ് സറണ്ടേഡ് ടു ദാറ്റ് ഡിഗ്രി ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ആർ ലിവിംഗ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ, അനന്യ ചേത സതതം യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ. Krishna is saying, for him, Krishna is already there for him. Tasyaham sulabha partha. So, because not that after death, this is the important thing, remember. Not after death you will go back to Krishna. Krishna is not saying that here. Right then, immediately that surrender happens, on the spot, Krishna is there for him. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, example they have given here, is that you have this, suppose a chain in your neck. You have forgotten that the chain is on the neck and you are searching everywhere. So suddenly somebody points out to you, the chain is on your own neck. What are you searching for? Suddenly you feel, yes, you realize it. There isn't it? Kandhabharanam, as it's called. And at that moment, immediately your attention falls on that, straight away, in the same way. In the same way, Krishna's presence in the Antaryami inside, when we realize it, on the spot itself, that dependence on Krishna or self-realization happens, and from then it becomes perfect. You don't have to wait for going back to the spiritual world later. Normally we say everything we have to do now, we'll do it, and at the end after death we'll go there. This understanding has to change. It has to happen here, otherwise what is the meaning of all this? So normally that smriti means, originally we were spiritual entities, isn't it? When we started identifying with the body and the mind and the ego, we lost that memory of our pure identity, what we are. We became body. We became the body. We started identification with the body and we became like this. But when you get back that old memory back again, what we are, which is our spiritual identity, isn't it? Smriti comes back to that. Smarana comes back to that. In three levels they talk about that. Bodhajanya Smriti, Kriyajanya Smriti, Sambandhajanya Smriti. Three ways this can happen. This memory can come back to us about our own identity. And these are in the Jnana Grantham, you will see all these things. How you get back that memory back again. So, Sambandhajanya Smriti means due to Sambandham. Sambandham means due to connections with that, you may get back that memory. Through constantly being spoken and suddenly you may get that memory back. Sambandham. By constant interaction with the soul, with the interaction with the Antaryami inside. Sometimes through karma it can happen. So, one is Sambandhajanya Smriti, other one is Kriyajanya Smriti. Through karmam, by execution of karmam, karmagandam in a particular way, and through the process of karma yogam also, the smriti of the soul, spiritual identity can come back. So, but what is the difference here? Here, it is called bodhajanya smriti. Bodhajanya smriti means that somebody, you have heard it, and it has made the impact in you that I am not this body. That bodham awareness has come suddenly from by hearing process. That is called bodhajanya smriti. Bodhajanya smriti, kriyajanya smriti, sambandhajanya smriti. Three ways it can happen. But bodhajanya smriti is the jnana margam. Jnana margam is bodhajanya smriti. Keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and one day it hits you. That have nothing to do with this body. A realization comes inside. Everybody gets it at some point. It has to come because you can see that in our vacant state and the dream state only, we have some identification with the body and the mind. Isn't it? Practically in a day, 24 hours if you take a cycle, throughout the deep sleep state, we have no identification with the body or with the mind. Is it not? So, in reality also, only for a certain part of the day we have identification with the body and identification with the mind. And if given enough hearing to that, it is possible to come out of this illusion of the identification with the body. It is possible because that is the way Jnana Margam is structured in that way. The difficulty is that for a long period of time, we have given importance to this vacant state. That's where all the problems started. Because when you come to this world, when all the senses becomes active, that's when we start taking this vacant state very seriously. Is it not? And then all the avidya we got from everywhere else, from the school, college and offices and family and society everywhere, they have pumped this into our head that this vacant state is very, very important. You can see all over Vyavaharam is in the vacant state, isn't it? So when Vyavaharam becomes very important, vacant state becomes important. No? So it is due to avidya, because there is no knowledge inside, we took this vacant state very seriously. And because we took this vacant state seriously, everything what happens in the vacant state makes sense to us. What happens in the dream state, we say, oh, it's just a dream, isn't it? We say. And in the deep sleep, we say, oh, I slept so many hours, wasted time. How this analysis has come, how this understanding has come in us? Due to avidya inside. Nobody told us about these three states of existence, how to analyze it properly. Shastra Grantham is constantly telling us, Krishna is telling us, we don't hear. We won't hear. We'll hear to the society, what the society is telling us. So we got trapped in that. That is why it mentions like this, that this Bodhajanya Smriti, the example is this chain in the neck itself. As soon as it was shown to the person, he or she realized it, that it is there in my neck. I don't have to search for anywhere else. Similarly, when that proper connection with the spiritual master happens at the right time, in the right situation, that when he points out to us that this thing what you are looking for, that realization is within yourself, inside. That is when that it will work. It has happened to Parikshit, is it not? In the Bhagavadam, that's what has happened. That Shuga Brahmarshi didn't do any magic there. Eventually he spoke in such a way that Parikshit says, Aham Brahma Param Nama Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. He says there, isn't it? He is realizing it there inside and he is saying, I got it. I got it. Nothing came from outside. So, so our Swarupam, our spiritual identity, when the spiritual master points out to you at the appropriate time, and if our Shraddha falls on that subject, on that Vastu inside, the spiritual master's duty, he has to point out to us that Vastu, what you are looking for, your Swarupam is inside you as there. And if our attention also falls on that Vastu, on that point onwards, you cannot forget it. It comes back to you. Whether you practice it or not, that's another thing. So, all other things in this world, if you do not practice it, it will go. Is it not? Many things in this world is like that. For example, music, dance, sports, all these things. If you don't practice it on a regular basis, you will lose that skill. But this one particular thing, self-realization, if you have come to contact with a self-realized soul, and if he is merciful enough to point out to you that your identity inside what you are, and if your attention has fallen on that by that great soul pointing it out to you, if your attention has fallen on that and if you have realized it, it will never leave after that. It will never leave after that. That is why Upanishad says, Sarvapyeva kala jantoho anabhyasena nashyati yam jnana kala atyanta sagujjato abhivardhate. It's Upanishad verse. It says, Sarvapyeva kala jantoho, all other kala, arts in this world, anabhyasena nashyati. If you stop practicing it, it will die. You will lose that skill. Yam jnana kala atyanta, this jnana kala, this self-realization process, sagujjato abhivardhate. Once it has happened, then it will only increase from there. It will never decrease from here. So that is the beauty of the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. Same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? If you look into Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha, the Brahmi Sthiti. Somehow or the other, if it happens in life, how it happens, that is, of course, it is in Krishna's hands. But due to bhakti or jnanam, if Krishna decides and releases that realization to us of our identity, it will never leave us again. It will never leave us again. So, so they give so many examples in the Upanishads how that works. It says that if that Shraddha has fallen on the Vastu inside, although we are talking about the soul, Jagra Swapnam Sushupti, and so many things in relationship with the soul, somehow or the other Shraddha is not falling on that, isn't it? It's still finding it difficult because our Purva Samskaram in us plus our Chitta Shuddhi is not there. And also the difficulty we have is that Prarabdham behind everything. So it will stop it, or Shraddha falling onto the Vastu. This is the difficulties there. So because it is like that, mentions here that suppose you are wearing a dhoti, a small spark of fire has fallen onto that, and slowly it will burn the whole dhoti, isn't it? Whole cloth, it will get burned with that spark of fire. In the similar way, so similarly, this knowledge of the self is also like that. Why? It mentions here, if you keep giving attention to that, remember this aham, 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 that aham asmi, aham asmi. One day, if by Krishna's grace, if that spark somehow hits that, follows that onto the place where it's coming from, that very quickly it will start growing from there. Only getting that first realization is the one which takes time. All great souls, if you look, you will see this. Nisargadatta Maharaj and many others, initially they had this great difficulty, but once they have hit that, then from then on they were constantly in progressing in their realizations also. They will not give up anymore. They continued with their activities in this world, but never they pulled their attention away from that place, away from that source where it's coming from. So similarly, Vastu, once attend, that is why in the Bhagavatam it says Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayo Inmulanam Srimal Bhagavade Mahamunigrade Kimva Parairishwara Sadyo Kradya Varudya Detra Kridibi Shushrushubi Talkshanad. Talkshanad, Krishna is saying there, that Vedavyasa Maharshi is mentioning there, Talkshanam, it has to happen. Once it happens, then automatically the whole other materialistic consciousness will go away from inside and it will completely suck the whole mind into it. Mind will be sucked inside. And then that Nirandara Smaranam, that means continuous remembrance of the soul, Krishna's presence as Antaryami, will become sahajam, a natural thing. So, and for such a person, coming and going stops. Is no coming and going anymore. Coming and going stops after that. Because now what has happened is he has not seen anything new outside. Nothing has come from outside. You have to, this is a very interesting thing if you look into this in this way. Many devotees, they worship the deities, isn't it? They worship the deities and they have gone very far in deity worship. And this realization has also happened to them. Which one? This realization that Antaryami inside is that form outside, what they are worshipping. The form outside is the Antaryami inside, which means they have gone very far in spiritual life. So one day a question was asked to Ramana Maharshi by a devotee. He asked this question. Ramana Maharshi was a devotee of Shiva, Arunachala Shiva. Yes, he worshipped that form. So he says to him, devotee is asking him, that suppose one day Lord Shiva appears in front of you and asks you, what benediction do you want? Because that's a normal thing in this world, isn't it? Everybody is thinking like that, that if only Krishna appears in front of me, and if you ask me, what do you want? I have to get ready for myself, I'm ready for that. It's a good thing. People think like that. Because that's how people realize their relationship with God, isn't it? You can see in this world, when people get so much influenced by this understanding, God is there, he is coming to give me one thing, what I am asking, looking for. And if he asks me, what do you want, I'll say, I want liberation. Or something like that. Whatever, you get ready yourself for that. So he asked Ramana Maharshi, that if Shiva comes to you one day and asks you, what do you want? What benediction do you want? You know what Ramana Maharshi said? Ramana Maharshi said, don't play this game with me. He says, this is what I'll tell him to Shiva. He says, don't play this game with me, he said. Why? Why did he say like that? Because, as soon as he says here, that you will appear now and you'll give me some blessing and you will go. And tomorrow I'll be suffering here with the same problems. What I had, nothing has changed. And I'll, as long as I'm living in this world with this body, it means distress to me in some way or the other. Therefore, I want a state where there is no coming and going, business has to stop. Coming and going, business has to stop. So therefore he said to him, I am not interested in this, that you coming here and you telling me something and you disappearing that. And then I continue existing here. No, that's not what I need. This is not what we need from here. Akhandananda Swamiji used to say this in Vrindavanam. As famous he was. He says to him, Vaikuntham kena drashtaha. He says, who has seen Vaikuntham? He says, you are saying that everything will be alright after death. He says to him, that it's a very important verse he has spoken. Vaikuntham kena drashtaha. So, you are telling me Vaikuntham, Vaikuntham. And have I gone and seen Vaikuntham there? That if it is there. And people will say so many things that, oh, you can go to Vaikuntham, you can go to Kailasam, you can go somewhere else. After death, all these promises will be there. But who has gone and seen that? This was Akhandananda Swamiji's words. Vaikuntham kena drishtaha, he says. No, Akhandananda Swamiji was very famous in Vrindavanam one time. So, even if you tell somebody that I had a darshan of Krishna in the dream, people will say like that sometimes. Krishna has appeared in my dream. And he has come and gone in the dream. What good is to me? He has come and gone. So just like he says that he has come and we met him at some particular place and he has gone away. Like a dream, it comes and goes. So, but after death, what will happen to us? That's important, isn't it? So, there is a story about this, a very interesting story. A spiritual master went to a village once. And he was a very well-known guru at that time. So, all the local people said that we should get as many people as possible to get initiated from this guru. Like you can see in the modern world also, it's a main business, isn't it? Get as many as initiated as quickly as possible. So Guru said, okay, I'll give initiation to everybody, whoever has comes to. So only one old lady, a grandma, she didn't come. She wouldn't go. She stayed at home. This was a small village it was. Everybody else has come and taken initiation. Only this grandmother didn't get initiated. So he says to the he heard that this one grandmother is still left, she doesn't come. So he asked, why is she not coming? So people said, we don't know why either she doesn't want to come. So he said, call her also, let her also come. So they went and brought her, this grandmother, they brought her. So the guru asked her, why did you not come? So she said, I don't know anything, that's why I didn't come. I don't understand all these things, this initiation business and all that. I don't understand, that's why I didn't come, he said. So so he says to him, then you take initiation from me. Who? The guru is saying to this old grandmother. Yes, well. So grandmother is asking him, why should I take the initiation? This is how initiations are in many cases. So Guru says to him, if you take initiation, you'll be connected to the link and after death you'll go back to the spiritual world. Everything, you know, like the way it is spoken, it is the same thing told her. So she says to him, oh, after death is it? She says, then, okay, in that case it's okay, I'm going to die very soon, let me have it, he said. So she took the initiation, from him. So, and he gave the mantra diksha. Mantram he gave it to her. So, after giving that, then she says, he says to her, you give me dakshina now. For the initiation, you have given you the initiation, you give me dakshina now. The grandmother says, I haven't got anything with me. I didn't bring any money with me. I didn't know that I had to give you money for this, she says to him. Is it like that? So only if you give dakshina, then only you can go to Vaikuntham, he says to her. he says to her, unless you give me dakshina, the ritual is not complete, in other words. That's the last thing you have to do, isn't it? So then the grandmother says, all right, I'll give you whatever you want. Okay, I'll give you the whole country as your dakshina, he says. She says to him, I'll give you the whole country as my dakshina to you. So he, Guru, could not understand what she is saying. He says to her, you old lady, what are you selling me? That you're going to give me this whole country as dakshina? Like that. He felt that she is trying to make fun of him. So, she says, she started mentioning all the name of all the states, starting from Kerala, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, onwards right up to Kashmir, all the states I'll give you as dakshina to you, he says. And so she says, why are you talking like this? Is it your property, all these states and all? Guru started asking. She asked him, is Vaikuntha your grandfather's property or what? This was her question to him. When he started asking her, all these states are your property or what? She says to him, is Vaikuntham your grandfather's property? That's what she asked him. The same way, in the same tone. So, to Vaikuntham, you can only go after your death. While you're living, you can't go there, can you? He asked her. So we have sometimes this understanding that everything after death is going to be very, grand, and everything wonderful going to happen after death. In that understanding, we are living here and doing anything whatever we have been told. Oh, that's what we are thinking. But here, the Krishna is making, this chapter, if you study properly, you will see, Krishna is saying to us, it must happen here, before this body drops off. Then you can take it that your spiritual life is a success. Otherwise, to live on hope, it's hoping against the hope that it will happen something after death. So, similarly, to think that everything will be alright after death, everything will be fine, that is just another illusion in the mind. Yogis also say, Yogi says like this, sahaja shainava tatra gova pramodaha. Yogis are saying like this. So, like in the Sushupti state, what is happening to us? We go away for some time, leaving the body, leaving the mind, leaving intelligence, everything. Then we come back to the same thing again. Is it not? So, and when we get back to our body, material existence comes back to us again. Is it not? We feel the material existence, misery of the material existence again. So, that kind of samadhi is useless. So, samadhi, before samadhi states, there is distress. And while during samadhi, there is a little relief from the misery. And again, when you come back from the samadhi state, the normal things like ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, the material existence, all the distress, everything comes back. Everything comes back to us, isn't it? So, the important thing is here, we will see this in the next verses, Krishna is taking us in that direction, to making us aware that spiritual life is real. It is not something to happen after death. Right now, while in this world, if you get it, you got it. But after death, what will happen and all, don't depend on it to that extent. There is no verse in the Bhagavad Gita to give you a very strong support. Most of the Bhagavad Gita's verses are, what has to happen must happen here, now. So, to make us aware that, but then sometimes we will say like this, that he has gone to Vaikuntham, he has gone to Kailasam, he has gone to Golokam and all. We will say like this, in the. That is because, it's like a, Some people won't take to spiritual life otherwise. They will give up at the end. So at least to keep them in the on the track, it's spoken in that way, that at least everything will be okay. Suppose a person who is leaving the body, if you tell him now that if you have not got it here, everything is going to be, so no, in order to keep him happy, you say to him, Krishna will look after you, you'll go back. And therefore, we say, after he has left, he will say, oh, he has gone back to spiritual world. He may have chanted Hare Krishna for a few years, he has gone back to spiritual world. We'll say like that, is it not? And so there are things which we have to understand in the proper way. Proper understanding, Bhagavad Gita is telling us, in the next verses, you are coming to see this point, what Krishna is making here, that whatever realization, if you touch that truth here, right? Because Krishna's point is, he is present inside us, every one of us. And he is present there, guiding us through our life, and whether through bhakti, through surrender, we have to get to Krishna. Or through knowledge and self-realization, we have to get close to him. There is no other place where you can find him in this world. Searching everywhere else is not going to bring the result. So that is the point Krishna is going to talk to us. But before that, we will see here that only one topic, that is what Krishna has pointed out already, that Krishna's presence inside all the time is indicating to us through this awareness inside. Krishna is present inside as the form of awareness, isn't it? Avabhodam. Sandram, Anandam, Avabhodam. That Avabhodam thing. Everything else goes. All the things what you see with your eyes, they disappear. The body goes away. Body changes, isn't it? And you can see this. The body what you had as a little boy or a girl, that body is not there anymore. When you have grown up, boyhood, childhood to boyhood, when you become a boy, the childhood body has gone. When the boyhood, that body what you had, when you become a young man, that body has gone. From the young man's body, when you become an older person, the young man's body has gone. All that body has completely gone. And then similarly at the old age, very late date, the body in the old age also, it has completely changed everything. So in other words, body has changed continuously. And in this existence itself, we have experienced so many death, is it not? So many bodies have dead and gone. New bodies have come, old bodies have gone. In this very existence, in this lifetime, we have experienced several death already. Only thing, we were not aware of that because of due to its continuity. So, if this death is a genuine thing, death, if it is a genuine thing, by now we must have experienced several death. Try to think this a little bit carefully. If death is a genuine thing, we must have experienced several deaths by now. But the reason is, we are not in connection with the body. That is why you are not experiencing that death. Similarly, when this body drops away, also you won't know about it. This is the most important thing. We get frightened about losing this body, finally at the old age, isn't it? We don't complain about all the other bodies we have lost before. The childhood body, I don't lament about this. Boyhood body, I don't lament about this. Youth's body, I don't lament about this. Why I'm not complaining about that? Only at the last minute, when this body, old body, when it eventually drops off, I'm complaining about that. Krishna's point is that this change of the body is never registered in the soul. Soul never gets registered by the change of the body. So every time you are changing the body, nothing is happening in the soul. Finally, when this body also drops away, soul is not even conscious of that. Why? Soul has no connection with the body. Soul is no. It's a very important realization in spiritual life. Unless we keep on hammering all this understanding inside us, we will keep on increasing our identification with the body. Rather than moving away from the body, we will getting more and more closer to the body. The opposite way. We are not meant to be like that. What is spiritual knowledge? Spiritual knowledge means this. Breaking up from that ignorance in us. That I am identifying with the body all the time. But so many bodies are changing. Right in this lifetime, I have lost several bodies. It didn't bother me. I couldn't do anything about it and I didn't bother about it. But why am I so bothered about finally leaving this body, what I am at the moment? It shouldn't be there. That is the point Krishna is saying here. That none of the limbs in my body, when I was a little boy, none of the limbs I have now. I have got all the new limbs, isn't it? Everything changed. Everything has changed that. So in a scientific way, if you look at that, I'm not even aware, conscious of all the changes that has happened in the body, because we have no connection with the body. This is the Vedantam's very firm conclusions. First of all, body doesn't even exist as far as the Vedantam is concerned. But even if it does exist, we have no connection with it at all. What we have got is identification with the body. That is all what we have got. We haven't got the body. What we have got is a bodily identification. That is what we have got. So, mind is changing, isn't it? Mind has changed. So much it has changed. From the so many things, when you were 20, 25, when you were told, you couldn't accept it. Same thing you are accepting at 50 and 55. Why is that? When you have gone through a little bit of life, you started seeing that there is some truth in the Bhagavad Gita. But when same thing, you tell a young man who comes out of a university after all his education, and when he is feeling the top of the world, earning well or whatever it is, you tell him all these things, he finds he'll be a Richard Dawkins at that time, asking so many questions about that. Yeah, but the same person, another 25, 30 years after he has lived in this world and experienced a lot of the miseries of this world, you tell him he is able to take it easily, a little bit easier. He starts understanding. So, this identification with the body matters. That is where all the problems are, identification with the body. So, here you can see mind is changing. That's the proof that mind is changing. At one time, that mind won't accept. Similarly, brain also is changing. The intelligence is also changing. Because it's changing, although all these things are changing, because of my identification with the body, I'm thinking it is happening to me. Can you understand? That when these changes are happening in the brain and in the mind and in the body, because I have identified with the body, I feel all these changes are happening in me, isn't it? So, 10 years ago I came here and I feel that 10 years have passed now, but I keep saying that I'm the same person. Similarly, people are listening and I'm still feeling they are all the same people. The people who have walked into this room, they are not the people who are leaving this room. We have to become like that, thinking like that. Those who have walked into this room is not the same people who are leaving this room. Similarly, I have walked in and I am not the same person who is leaving this room. Shariram, body has changed. Everything has changed. All of us. Body changes, mind changes, intelligence changes. Everything changes. And only one thing what has not changed in any one of us is our awareness. That's the only thing what has not changed. That is how we have to be. So Shraddha should be like that. If the Shraddha is on that awareness rather than on the body, mind, intelligence, then there is some hope in spiritual life. If you put all your Shraddha all the time on the body, mind and intelligence, which is continuously changing, you won't get a grip anywhere. The only permanent factor in all these things is our existence awareness. Awareness of our existence. That is where our Shraddha has to fall. So, if it happens like that, that is my awareness. If your attention or Shraddha falls on that, you will know that that is your swarupam, that is your swarupam. so that anubhavam, that experience, that I am not changing, is not in us, isn't it? What do we have at the moment? Constantly a thing that is changed. I'm getting old. I'm 65. Next year I'll be 66. Like this, constantly I have identified with all the changes that is happening in me. Like I have identified with the boyhood body, youthhood body, old age body. I continuously identify with the changing things in me. The changing things are the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. I'm identifying with all of them. But the changeless thing, what is in me, I'm not identifying with that. That is the whole problem. If the Shraddha falls on that changeless thing, the soul, Antaryami, which I am inside, then if my attention don't fall on to the changing things, then I am on the spiritual path, on the path of self-realization. So, now you can see that now in our experience, for example, change of the body also, in your experience it is not there. You have to know by looking at the mirror that I have changed. When the body is changing, I am not aware of that, am I? Nobody is aware of changing body. Only thing is, suppose you have, I mentioned this before also, that you take the photograph of your childhood photo, video or something, you keep it. And when you are, say, 85, 90 years old, you take it and start looking at it. And you are saying, this is me. You say this, isn't it? You say this, that this is me. So, either you need a video or a mirror or something to look at it and to confirm that you have changed. You have changed. So in other words, just like using a mirror, you know that something has changed. That is how you are noticing the changes that is happening in the body. It is happening in the body. So, otherwise, I am not aware of the change of the body. It's not in me. I am not even conscious of the body is changing, isn't it? So many cells are dying, new cells are taking birth, and body is growing. It keeps growing up to a certain stage, it stays for some time, the six changes that happens in the body, and then it starts deteriorating and eventually decay and death. All these changes, what's happening, I am not aware of. I'm not aware of. Okay, if I see the body, I can see that the skin is changing and the body, the nature of the body, the physically I'm feeling weakness and all kinds of things you may experience in that. But none of them is experienced by the self inside. Self has no experience of any of these things. So, but but that awareness, if you give attention to that, your existence awareness, you can see that it hasn't, even the smallest part of it hasn't changed. When you are a little child, when you are grown up as a teenager, or when you are a young man, or in the middle age, or in the old age, all through this life, that awareness was always very steady. At no point in time, you felt any shortage there. It was always full awareness of your existence, isn't it? Not the body, not the mind, but the awareness of your own existence. So, so here, the Nityamaya Vastu, that means this Vastu inside, it is in that Vastu, all these things are happening. Vastu is the background behind everything. And in that background of that Vastu means this soul, Antaryami, present inside us, with that background, these things are happening. Which one? That we're talking about, the body comes in that Vastu, death happens in that Vastu, birth happens in that Vastu, happiness happens in that Vastu, distress happens in that Vastu, coming and going, all that happens in that Vastu. Vastu is the most important thing. Only when the Vastu is present inside, all these changes, what is happening, is experienced. By the jiva. We are feeling that all these changes is known only due to the presence of that Antaryami behind it. So, so it is due to, that is why in Vedantam the importance is given to the presence of the Antaryami. Antaryami's presence makes all these things happen. These changes what we are experiencing. So, our birth, our sustenance or maintenance in this world, and our ulpati means our birth and our sustenance in this world, and our death, all these things that is changing, all that is happening is in the background of the vastu inside. Vastu inside. Nothing is touching that vastu at that point. And that awareness inside, on the other hand, what happens? All the time, Sattachit Sugarubam Astu Satatam, Upanishad says. That Satta, that is what is called Satta. Satta is the essence. Which Krishna calls in the Bhagavad Gita is Nasado Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. That Satta. Satta is another word used for the same. That Vastu, in that Vastu, I have this false ego, I am. I am has gone from that. And that false ego is first me, then you, then they. Three things comes. Me first, and then you, and then they. All three things comes from that vastu. So, naham na chattvam rusha edam sakshi jagal pradrishta mahilam. Once our awareness is gone, attention has fallen on that. Our attention has not fallen on that yet, on that vastu yet. Once it has fallen on that is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna, it is Krishna when we realize that. When we realize that, it is Krishna. And that is our soul. That is our soul. And whoever gets closer to that vastu inside, they will not come back. That means, once you have lost your attention on the body, once you have lost your attention in the mind, intelligence, ego, everything, which are all changing things that is happening, going through in front of me who is inside. But at the moment, currently, all our attention is on these changing factors, like the body, like the mind, like the intelligence, like the ego. All the changing factors, our attention is on that. When our attention moves away from all these changing things and it falls on the vastu inside, which is called Satta, Krishna is saying here, that person will not come back. Once the attention has fallen on the changeless thing inside, that Satta inside, and that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look, we'll read that first. Verse number... 15, yes.
Mamumete punarjanmam
dukhalayam ashashvatam napnuvandi mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gataha mamupetya punarjanmam dukhalayam ashashvatam napnuvandi mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gataha mam upetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam napnuvandi mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gataha. Krishna, I'll read the translation. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. They have attained the highest perfection. So, in the bhakti language, we will say that he won't come back to this world again. In the jnana margam, it has to be understood in this way, that once you have realized it, then there is no more coming back to the, again to the bodily level again. Once you have realized the truth, will not come back to the bodily level again. So we'll have a short break then. So, Maam Uvetya Punarjanmam Dukhalayam Ashashwadam Napnivandi Mahalmana Samsiddhim Paramam Gadaha. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Mamubeti punarjanmam. Dukhalayam ashashwadam. Napnivandi mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gada. In the last verse, Krishna mentions there that the last two lines, if you look, tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginam. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginam. For him who, in the last words he mentioned, anyada ananya cheta sadadam yomam smaradi nityasha. That person who is ananya cheta satatam yomam smaradi nityasha, who is absorbed in me all the time. That means very serious in spiritual life. One who is very, very serious in spiritual life. That's what Krishna is pointing at. Very serious. Very serious means 24 hours seriousness. Shraddha in Krishna. That means he has no interest in the body. You see no reference to body at all in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything is centered around the soul. Nothing but the soul. And Krishna is saying, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha. Such a person, tasyaham sulabha partha. I am very easily available. He said in the last verse, isn't it? Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. So from that words itself you can see Krishna is not talking about after death. He says here, tasyaham sulabha partha. I am easily available for him. You don't have to wait even. Provided, ananya cheda saradam somam smaradi nityesha. It's not after death. That's an important point. Having said that, he says, tava saulabhyena kim syal idi uchyade shrunu tad mama saulabhyena yad bhavati. In other words, it is so easy that why is it so easy? That's what he's explaining in this next verse. Mamubeti punarjanmam dukhale mashashwadam. Snapnivandi mahal manam samsiddhim paramam gada. Krishna is saying here, mam upetya, mam ishwaram upetya, malbhava mapadya, punarjanmam, punarulpatim, na prapnivandi iti. He says that those who have reached that state, suppose you have realized Krishna inside, Antaryami inside. That means you have got that state of consciousness like Krishna then. You're not different from Krishna at that point. Your consciousness is in that state. Krishna's consciousness is always 100% not based on the body, isn't it? It's always based on the soul. On the soul. That is why when Mahabharata war happened, he smiled after the war. Why? Because it's not based on the body for Krishna. Dharma Uttara, Yudhishthira Maharaj and others were lamenting. Everybody else was lamenting. Krishna was smiling after the war. Why? Only when you are on the bodily identity, you have distress in life, you have the janma, mrtyu, jara, vyadhi, all that exist. But one who is not in that identity with the body, for him birth doesn't exist, death doesn't exist, old age doesn't exist, and disease doesn't exist. Janma, mrtyu, jara, vyadhi is for those who are on a bodily identity. So Krishna is not never for a second in any circumstances in the, is purely spiritual. Because he is spiritual, never he experiences the miseries of material life. That is the way Krishna is. Krishna is that soul present in everyone. He is always in that state of consciousness. When a person through self-realization reaches that state, he acquires the same qualities. Naturally, he will get that. Same quality. So, maam ubeti maam ishwaram ubeti mal bhavam abadhyam. So, if you get to that bhavam, that punarjanmam, repeated birth, will not happen to him anymore. So, what happens now? When we are thinking that if I leave this material body, I will not accept another body. This is the devotee way of seeing it. Jnani's way of seeing is in a different way. Little bit more in a subtle level, you understand it. What you understand there is that while living within this body, you have left the body. While within this body itself, you have left the body. So there is no question of leaving the body and accepting another body. It finishes there itself. So, punarjanmam, he says, kim vishishtam punarjanmam na prapnivandi iti tad visheshanam aha. the reason for not accepting another body, the glory of that. Krishna is talking about that in this verse. The glory of not accepting another body. Dukhalayam dukhanam adhyalmiyadinam alayam ashrayam. Alayam ashrayam. Ali yande yasmin dukhani idi dukhalayam janma. Na kevalam dukhalayam ashashvadam anavastida rubam. Cha na apnivandi ee drisham punarjanma mahalmano yatayaha samsiddhim mokshakhyam paramam prakrishtam gadim praptaha ye punaha mam na prapnivandi te puna avartande. Dukhalayam dukhanam. So Krishna has given a name for this world. Krishna is first time we call this world Mother Earth or whatever we call it, isn't it? We have given different names to this planet. Earth we call it. This planet is called Earth. Krishna given a name to this planet. He says Dukhalayam. Dukhalayam is the name given to this planet. Krishna has given that name. Why? In this planet, what's available here is distress. Krishna is saying here. What is available here on offer is only distress. It's only distress. So this word alayam, you can see alayam. Alayam, just like temple, is called alayam sometimes, isn't it? The deity is Krishna's alayam, that is dukhalayam. So here, this is called dukhalayam. Dukhalayam means here, distress is there in everything here. In everything there is distress. What is that distress here? Krishna mentions that janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. The four things. That is the distress. So when these four things are there, there is always distress here. So you can see here, wherever you look in this world, these four things are everywhere. There is no place without these four things. That is Krishna's very firm opinion on that. And those who are very intelligent, when they see this, they will feel a little fear about it. That this is what is in waiting. Going to happen. Because you are at a state now, you're not realized the self yet. If you realize the self, then it's no problem. But while being in the identification with the body, what we call as the conditioned soul, while we are identifying with the body, when we see these four distress things, four things, birth, death, old age and disease, when you see that, if you are not getting frightened, that means Krishna is saying there is something wrong with us. That's the way Krishna thinks about that. Krishna is saying, after seeing birth, death, old age and disease, if you are not getting frightened, there is something wrong with us. Krishna says that. So, look at the case of Buddha, Lord Buddha. He got frightened when he saw this, isn't it? So, when he walked away from the palace, father was insisting him to stay back in the palace. So, Buddha says to him, I also want to stay here. But I'm getting frightened. Buddha is saying this. He says, Iri janma jara maranam na bhaved. He put these four things in front of his father and told him, Iri janma jara maranam na bhaved. Iri ishtaviyoga bhayam na bhaved. Ye sarva manitya asa idam na bhaved. Iha kasya janma radir na bhaved. He asked this question. It is in Buddha's history. If you read, you will see. Iri janma jara maranam na bhaved. He says to him, that if there is no birth, death, janma, old age, not here, then I don't mind staying here. But when I see these things happening, old age and birth and death continuously happening here, I'm not very happy about it, he says. Yadi ishtavi yoga bhayam na bhavet. Now, if you have everything, for example, if you can stay here with all your associates, or family members or society, that is also not possible. Either they will go or I will have to go from here. In other words, this relationship is such a temporary thing, there is no happiness in this. Buddha is saying this. Yadi ishtaviyoga bhayam na bhavet. If that fear was not there, I don't mind staying back in the palace. Yadi sarvam anityam idam na bhavet. Now, people are working hard and he's saying to his father, you have managed to conquer so many countries and bring them all under your control. and that is also not going to stay. That will also go. Yadi sarvam anityam idam na bhaved. If they will all stay permanently here, the so-called kingdom or the empire, permanently I will have it. No, that is also not guaranteed. It can go any time. Somebody else can attack and take it over from you. Iha kasya janmaradhirna bhaved. Where is the question of any kinds of happiness in this life? Buddha asked this question to his father, and that is how he walked out from his palace. From the father. At that time, father understood that there is nothing I can do, because he tried many ways to bring him back he wanted him to take over the kingdom, and that's why so much allurements he offered. But so he mentions that last time, if all these things are not there, then I am willing to stay in the palace and run the administration and control the administration. But it is like this, he said, just like on top of my head there is a sword is hanging, ready to chop me off any time. So any moment it can drop on my head, and who wants to sit on this throne? Buddha said, the enlightenment. So just Bhagavatam, the same thing is spoken in a different way. Narada Maharshi met Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narada Maharshi about it. Narada Maharshi says to him, Yudhishthira, there are two snakes. They are looking at each other, and there is one frog sitting in the mouth of one snake. There is another frog sitting in the mouth of another snake. And this frog is telling the other frog, I'll look after you. But in the same way, I'll take care of you, don't worry about it. He says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, what is permanent in this world? Nobody can look after anybody in this world. Nobody can look after anybody. Very clearly, this is at the last minute. That's made Yudhishthira to think that about, and that is when he calls Parikshit, hands over everything and walks away from this world. It is in the first canto. You can see, read all that there. So similarly, at any moment, either of the two snakes can close its mouth and the frog's life is over. Isn't it? So similarly, you can see sometimes these frogs are sitting in the mouth of the snake, and suddenly a fly is passing through, and the frog is trying to get the fly. We are all like that. That's what Narada Maharshi says there. We are ready for the slaughter. We're all, aren't we? Any moment we can be gone from here. We could be finished with this body. Any moment it can happen. But still, we are thinking that, is there any way I could be happy here? And making little adjustments here and there to make yourself. So that is why Krishna is calling it as Dukkhalayam. You can't have happiness here. It's not possible. It's been created like that. No matter what you do here, we know it's coming. It's a question of time. Little bit we have already got it. But you haven't got it in the full toss or full dose. It's coming. It's on its way. It's just a question of time now. Old age, disease, and then death. And by then a lot of other problems along with that, and we're all gone in our own way, whichever way it is. So there's a lot of things going to come. It hasn't come yet. So we are still sitting here and thinking that, well, is there any way we can avoid that happening? But Krishna is saying it's not possible. This birth, death, old age and disease is dissolved in this world. It's there all the time. There's no escape from that. So this Dukkhalayam, the words Krishna is using there, it's not a pessimistic view. That's what I'm saying. It's not a pessimistic that he is speaking like that. That is the truth in this world. So that is the very nature of this world. If we have a little bit of intelligence means discriminative power, then we can know that the so-called happiness that we are getting here and the so-called distress also that is coming here is all false. The happiness is not real, neither the distress is real. They are all false in different forms. So sometimes you can see here that born in some wealthy family, somebody born in a very wealthy family, and the parents have earned enough wealth for the children. And you will also notice that health is okay. He has got reasonable health also, no diseases. And it goes on like this up to 30, 35, 40 years old, and then it starts showing its color. Suddenly, it starts coming. It's up to that, up to about 40 years, you'll say, oh, happy, happy, everything is happy, you will say. We'll say, after about 40, one after the other, things start breaking up in the body. And then even in the family life also, problem starts coming up. Then it, you're running day and night just to escape from the misery after that, isn't it? So that time you start questioning that, people start asking this question. Up to that time you will talk about his free will, free will, free will. Then after that 40 you will say destiny, 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 everything. So this is the mind. Mind is like that. You have seen this, haven't you? That up to certain time we will be arguing strongly about free will. What's the meaning of free will? We will ask up to about 40. After 40, when the body starts withering away, and all other problems, everything is going wrong in every direction, and you can't extract any happiness from this world, then you will start come to terms with it and start saying it's all destiny, destiny, destiny. So this question is like this. Question is also like that. The answer is also in the same way, in the same way. That is why in the, you will notice this important principle. This is mamu beti punarjanmam. Because we don't accept this. We read all these things, but we will never accept it. So everything is here upside down. Here upside down. Bhishma mentioned this in the Mahabharata. There's two press. Bhishma, when he was talking to Yudhishthira, he mentioned two stories about this. One is called Mangi Ubhakhyanam and the other one is called Medhavi Ubhakhyanam. Two stories. He talks about this to Yudhishthira in the Mahabharata. He says to him that Mangi Ubhakhyanam is the story of a businessman. This businessman, he has he wanted to he was a small person, then he was buying different things, products from the village and taking into the city and selling them, and he was making money, profits. And then one day he got absorbed in that, and he he says he sold the flour from the village into the city and made money, and then eventually he thought, I should get a transport to carry this from the village to the city. So he bought a bullock cart. Those days that was obviously his mode of transport, and then he is carrying a lot of flour from the village to the town, and he was dreaming in the cart, sitting there in the bullock cart. He was thinking that I have made so much profit in the last many years, now that I own this bullock cart and I got all this, I'm able to sell more now. Previously he was doing it on alone, now he has got this vehicle, he's doing it more. So he's dreaming, I'll sell all these things in the city, I'll make more money like this, I'll work for 3 months or 6 months, and from the profits I've made from that, I will not work anymore, I'll hire others to do the work, like everybody else thinks in this world, business people also, isn't it? So he was making all these plans, and this bullock cart is going in the night towards the city. While going, there was one camel lying there on the road. He couldn't see in the darkness. So when by mistakenly the bulls ran over this camel, and camel is a very heavy animal. So what the camel did, when the bullock cart was passing over it, camel just got up, because when the bulls hit the camel, camel just got up. It was lying on the street, it just got up. When it just got up, the yoke lifted up so high, and the bulls were hanging from the yoke, and all the flour that was on the, it was not packed or anything very well, it was on the bullock cart, the whole thing spilled on the whole ground, and everything was lost. Everything was lost. Bhishma was telling his own story through this story to Yudhishthira. You know, Bhishma was a very powerful personality. He had done a lot, always wanted to be in control of the situation. And Bhishma is saying here, Yudhishthira, I have made this mistake. This Mangi Ubhakhyanam in the Mahabharatam is only Bhishma's story it is. But instead of directly saying that to Yudhishthira, he spoke through this story to him. He says to him, മങ്കി ഗീത ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് ഇൻ ദി മഹാഭാരതം ദാറ്റ് ടിൽ ദി ഓൾ അവർ സോ കോൾഡ് പ്ലാൻ മേക്കിംഗ് ആൻഡ് അവർ ഡൂയിങ് വേരിയസ് തിങ്സ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഭീഷ്മ സെയ്സ് ടു യുധിഷ്ഠിര ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺലി ടിൽ ദി ക്യാമൽ ഗെറ്റ്സ് അപ്പ് till the camel gets up. So camel, he says, the camel was lying on the street, which when it got up, the bulls has actually lost control of the vehicle, everything was, business was over. So he says to him that the camel is the reality, bulls are not the reality. That is how Bhishma says this to Yudhishthira. He says, camel is the reality, bulls are not the reality. So the whole life is like this. I will get this done, I'll get that done, I'll achieve this, I'll achieve that. And it will go on like this till the end. Plan making and plan making and plan making. So, especially when you think about this, that you can see youth, it is like that, isn't it? Somebody will say, I want to retire at 40. Somebody else says, I don't want to work after 50. But the person who has said he is working at 80 also, the very person who has said that he is going to retire at 50, he is working at 80 still, and he has not retired yet. So if you ask him why you are telling us that day that you are retiring at 50 and all that, what does happen? He will have something else, because the camel has got up in his life. That's what has happened. So till that camel gets up, these dreams, expectations, ambitions, that will all be there, and that is when it's going to happen. One day the camel will get up. So Bhishma says there that Bhishma, very powerful message is giving to him. It is my own story, he says to them, that because first thing, what did Bhishma do? Bhishma said, I will not take control of the administration, isn't it? He wanted to stay behind and control the kingdom, control the kingdom. After Pandu's death, that is what was in his mind. Bhishma, the Dhritarashtra and Pandu were born. Before that, Vichitravirya and Chitrangada, you know the history, if you read through, you will see there. That after Shantanu was Bhishma's father. After Shantanu's, for Shantanu to get married to Satyavati, Satyavati's father said that you already have a son, Bhishma. Because he is a Kshatriya son, he is the one who is going to have the kingdom after your death. I cannot allow that. If you want to marry my daughter Satyavati, you should give me a guarantee that Bhishma will not ask for the kingdom, he said. So Bhishma said, all right, if it pleases you that you want to get married to Satyavati, if you insist on that, then I will not make any claim on the kingdom. And then the father of Satyavati says, you may not make, but your son may make claim on the kingdom. So Bhishma says, if that's the case, I won't get married. That is Bhishma Pratijna, isn't it? Bhishma's that Brahmachari, that's how he became a Brahmachari, lifelong Brahmachari Bhishma became. He never got married because of that. Just to honor his word to the father of Satyavati. It is after that Shantanu married Satyavati, and then they had this Vichitravirya, Chitrangada were born, and they both died. So what Bhishma did was, when Vichitravirya and Chitrangada were born, they both had problems. And behind the scene, Bhishma was managing everything, using them in the front. Vichitravirya, they also died. They also died. And then came Dhritarashtra. And then what happened? In Satyavati had union with that Bhishma won't marry. So the family has to continue. The parambara has to go on, because there was no king. So therefore, Satyavati had arranged marriages Bhishma went and brought three girls actually, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, from the kingdom of Kashi. They brought them there. And Bhishma won't have any relationship, so therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi had to beget children from them. Amba wouldn't agree. Ambi also won't agree. And Ambalika agreed. And from them, Vidura was born. And Pandu was born. They are all mentioned in the Mahabharata. You will read all that. The birth was. So behind all these, who was making the plan? Bhishma was doing all the plan. So it didn't work with Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. It failed. Dhritarashtra and Pandu also he tried. It didn't work. Pandu died. Then we got Dhritarashtra. So Bhishma thought, keeping Dhritarashtra in the front, I will manage. That also collapsed at the end. You see how Mahabharata brings all these things to us to tell us that Bhishma's plan making was very big. Always he will plan and continue. So you can see, so Vichitravirya and Chitrangada are the two bulls, what he is talking about here. The two bulls, isn't it? And he tried to run the bull cart in that way. It didn't work. One person died. I think it was Chitrangada who died due to Rajayashma. Rajayashma means tuberculosis, what we call as TB. That is what Rajayashma. He got that disease and he died. And the other person fought with the Gandharvas and he got killed, Vichitravirya. Vichitravirya got killed in the war and Chitrangada got killed by the illness. He died. So, both of them played and then he went to Kashi, Banaras, and from there brought these three girls. Amba, Ambika, Ambalika. Out of that, one girl got so angry with Bhishma because she was already attached to Salua, I think, some one king. Salua. And therefore she didn't want to come and get married here. And keeping the other two, Amba didn't want to get married. Ambika and Ambalika, he brought Vedavyasa Maharshi and got children from them. Ambika and Ambalika. So he thought that through their union, there will be good children will be born, bringing the sage there, who our Vedavyasa Maharshi. There also the camel got up. Everything was failing every time this was happening. Out of that, why camel got up? One was born as blind. Who? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was born as blind. And the other one, Pandu, was always sick. Vyadhi. And Pandu also, and the other third one was born, Ambalika did not have the union. She sent her servant maid to associate Vidura, and from Vidura was born from that. Vidura was not entitled for the kingdom. and then what happened? That you can see there also that the Dhritarashtra never had children. Dhritarashtra never had children first. And the children that were born, and Vedavyasa Gandhari could not have the children. So Gandhari broke her stomach with a stone and from there a piece of flesh came out. Vedavyasa Maharshi cut that whole thing into 100 pieces, put them into 100 pots, and they came up as the children of Dhritarashtra later. Isn't it? And nothing worked out properly as Bhishma planned. Nothing worked out properly. And every time Bhishma says the camel got up. All the time. You're making the plan, camel was getting up. In other words, plan was always failing. So Bhishma is saying to Yudhishthira, all your so-called power and plan making will only till the camel gets up. Once the camel gets up, the plan making is finished. Something else will happen. You can't do anything about it. Ultimately, he's lying down on the bed of arrows. Sharashaya is lying there. Bhishma says to him, my dear Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj says to him, that bull is not the truth. Camel is the only truth. He says, camel is the only truth and I am the proof of that, he says to him. So, I have told all these people, I will protect you. Bhishma was very powerful that way. He said, I will protect you, all of them. But, therefore, now I am lying here in this bed of arrows. I was trying to protect all these Kauravas, isn't it, in the battlefield. I have told Duryodhana, I told Dhritarashtra also, nothing to worry, whoever comes in the battle, I was capable of fighting them. I had so much confidence in me. And I told I will protect all of them. Now I am lying here in the bed of arrows. He says to him, And therefore, he says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, surrender to Krishna. There is no other way, he says to him. So, when the death will come, nobody will know about it. Therefore, along with this, there is a next incident, what he says, what is known as Medhavi Upakhyanam. There also, he says the same thing to Yudhishthira again, that a little boy is asking his father, what is the goal of life? That is the Medhavi Upakhyanam, he says to him. So, he says to him that first you have to, he says to the child, the father says to the child, that you should grow up and get married and have a householder life and enjoy all the happiness of this world. The father says to the child, and finally you should realize the truth, Brahmajnanam, self-realization. The child says to the father, child, very intelligent child, asks the father this question. After I had my householder life and all the happiness of this world, then you are telling me that I should realize the self after that? But where is the guarantee that Yama Dharma Raja will give me that much time? The child is asking this question. So, all this, the Dharmavutra to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma is saying all these things to him. And then he says to him, you are asking, saying this, that in this world, that I want this and I have to attain this. And all these things, he says, it is only till the camel gets up. Till the camel gets up. Ultimately, you will understand that nothing is permanent here. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya mamuvetya punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnivandi mahatmanam samsiddhim paramam gada. Krishna later also mentions this, anityam asukham lokam, he says. So, it is only an illusion in our head. It's a brahmam. It's kind of a brahmam here. What is really here, reality here is janmam, maranam, jananam, maranam, vyadhi. Old age, disease and death. These are the reality here in this world. That is the first thing Krishna wants us to understand. And come out of that illusion that I have to achieve something here, attain something here, and so many things I have to do here. There is nothing to be done here. That's the first thing Krishna is pointing out. All here is this awareness, first thing to come. If we get that deeply inside, Krishna says you have won the battle. That means to accept that dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Mamubhetya punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Two things. Dukkhalayam means it's place of misery. Ashashvatam is because it's temporary. It is temporary. He says here, therefore, so the thing is this, therefore Krishna says here, you should not come back here again to this place. You should stay in a place where it's permanent. Where it is permanent. Where it is permanent. If you have to come back here again, sometimes this question comes, isn't it? You know, it's an important question that's always discussed. The fall of Jiva. Isn't it? The fall of Jiva. So, if you analyze it properly, you can see. We say we were all at one time in the spiritual world. Now, if you are fallen from the spiritual world, this question is always there in everybody's mind. Why did we fall? First instance. Then people say that, oh, you may have got envious with Krishna. That's why you fell from there. Now, if I get envious there, that place is not right then, isn't it? It's a place where there should not be any envy. So, from all these things, you can understand that spiritual realization and this going back and all that, you have to understand in terms of realizing here, right now. Right now. So, reaching this state, what Krishna is talking about, that he says here, Napnivandi Mahalmanam, he says here, Napnivandi Mahalmanam, who are the Mahalmas, he says here, that one who avoids this next birth, Punarjanmam. One who can escape from Punarjanmam. Mam upetya Punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Napnivandi Mahalmanam. Krishna is saying, one who can avoid another birth, he is a Mahalma. He is a മഹാത്മാ. മാം ഉപേത്ത് പുനർജന്മം ദുഃഖാൽ. വൈ? ബിക്കോസ് ഹി നോസ് ദിസ് ഇസ് ദുഃഖാലയം അശാശ്വതം. ദുഃഖാലയം അശാശ്വതം. സോ സച്ച് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹി സേസ് സംസിദ്ധിം പരാം ഗതഹ. വൈ ഡു ദേ നോട്ട് കം ബാക്ക് ഹിയർ അഗെയിൻ? ബിക്കോസ് ദ ആൻസർ ഈസ് സംസിദ്ധിം മോക്ഷാഖ്യം പരമാം പ്രകൃഷ്ടാം ഗതാഹ. യു വിൽ സീ ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ദുഃഖാലയം ജന്മ ന കേവലം ദുഃഖാലയം അശാശ്വതം അനവസ്ഥിത രൂപം ച ന ആപ്നുവന്തി ഈദൃശം പുനർജന്മം മഹാത്മാനോ യഥയാ സംസിദ്ധിം മോക്ഷാഖ്യം പരമാം പ്രകൃഷ്ടാം ഗതിം പ്രാപ്താഹ യേ പുനഃ മാം ന പ്രാപ്നുവന്തി തേ പുന ആവർത്തന്തേ. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ് that the cause of all the distress is birth. Cause of all the distress is birth. And once you have taken birth, death is there for the body. For the body. And in other words, lot of distress will keep coming one after the other. And realized souls, yogis or jnanis or great personalities, for them, the repeated birth doesn't happen. Again, another birth does not happen. And that is what they call as the liberated state. Otherwise, again, the same thing happens. Punarabhijananam, punarabhimaranam, punarabhijanani jadare shayanam. Iti samsare bahudustare krupayapare pahimurare. So, here, moksham. That is why Krishna is mentioning here. Napnuvandi mahalpanam samsiddhim paramam gadaha. That samsiddhim, Krishna says here, that samsiddhi, what is that samsiddhi? Samsiddhi is this, that you don't have to accept another body. That is the important point. It's not said here that you will go to such a place that you won't come back from there. That's not how Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here that you lost this body, you don't have to accept another body again. That is liberation in Krishna's definitions. He puts it like this. Because, and who are they? That's why it says here that Napnuvandi Mahalpanam Samsiddhim Paramam Gada. Napnuvandi. Napnuvandi Mahalpanam Mahalpana Samsiddhim Paramam Gada. Anavastida Rupam Ashashwadam Anavastida Rupam Janna Apnuvandi. Idrisham Punarjanam Mahalpano Ediya Samsiddhim Mokshakyam Paramam Prakushtam Gadim. So, one thing here that you will see this state of liberation is always to be based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at it, it is not spoken very emphatically as the spiritual world. It's not how it is spoken. Now, why is it spoken then about going back home, back to Godhead? Prabhupada's given that title like that, isn't it? Reason is this, that in the bhakti process, a little bit complex way philosophy is spoken. Sometimes it is difficult for them to take it on board. Because the mind is, they are satisfied that, oh, bhakti means in the execution of bhakti, because you can see how people are in the bhakti process. Is it not? You just have to look into the world and see how bhakti is executed in this world. Very easily people will fall into the ritualistic side than to the knowledge side of bhakti. Like this ritualism. A lot of ritualism and a lot of sadhana, but no surrender. No proper surrender. Therefore, what happens is, after a while, they will lose that momentum in spiritual life. You can see that all the time happening. Because it's not driven by knowledge, it is driven by the ritualism, and it is driven by all the formalities of the bhakti process, which is your sadhana, your initiation, and your so-called association of the devotees. They call it as association, but it's a completely a social gathering it is, the so-called association. You know that. Everybody knows that, isn't it? It's purely a social gathering. And you will put a title on that, it is Sadhu Sangam, Sat Sangam and all that. But it ends up as a pure social gathering. So we want all these things. We are not ready for leaving anything. In that state, if you want to enthuse a person to stay in spiritual life, all you can do is to tell that person, continue what you are doing, after death everything will be okay. and you have to accept it that way. There is nothing else more than that. So you have to tell him, oh, everything will be all right, don't worry, do it at least. Because you know, if I don't give you any offer, you will go. You won't do even the little thing what you are doing now. So that person will say, well, it's not going to happen anyway. Why should I not take advantage of this life? Now either no, I don't have a material life, nor do I have a spiritual life, that situation can happen. So generally the acharyas will always say to you that after death, oh, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. That is just like that old lady who went to take the initiation. She asked a question straight away. She lived a whole life in this world and she says to him that you are telling me that you want dakshina. I'll give you all the dakshina. He says, what kind of dakshina is this? She says, like the way you are offering me Vaikuntham, I am offering you my dakshina also in the same way. Isn't it? So this is how you have to understand that. All right, in Puranam you will find all these things, that there is a place there, up there. Vedantam does not accept that. In all other religions also it is the same process. Now, whether it is in Christianity or Islam or Judaism also, they all make an offer. Some offer for which you have no proper, you are not signed up. You may have signed up for that, but whether you will get it or not, that's another question. You may have signed up for that. But Bhagavad Gita, if Bhagavad Gita has any difference from any other scripture, is this thing. That it's telling you something very logical and realistic. Right in this world, you can get it if you make it happen. Make it happen. If you work for it hard, and if Krishna's grace comes through that way, from your sincere way, if you have worked, done it, and from Bhagavad Gita point of view, dukkham or distress is not due to alleviation of distress is not by anything else except through knowledge. Knowledge is the cause of freedom. That's why when that verse you can see, ajnana timirandaste jnananjana shalagaya, it says, isn't it? Jnanam is a medicine for ajnanam. All other miseries are not considered miseries even. They are not even considered miseries. For example, lot of material miseries we experience, isn't it? But from the Shastric point of view, that misery we are experiencing is due to ignorance. What ignorance? Ignorance is this, that I am identifying with the body. I am not identifying with the self. So, taking us in that direction, Krishna is saying to us, that mam ubheti punarjanmam dukhalayam ashashvadam. One who has come out of this dukhalayam ashashvadam, which is this material existence, if he is freed himself from that, then he will say here that that the reality of his realization is finally that he comes to the understanding that he is not this body. With that moment itself, you have come out of this distress. Which one? That dukhalayam ashashvadam. The moment you realize that I'm not this body, you realize it, not intellectual level, but in the experience level. It has to happen. Once that has happened, Krishna is saying, you are out of the trouble then. So here, so that is why Krishna did not talk about it going anywhere in this verse. Didn't mention about going anywhere. All he said was, mam ubhetya punarjanmam dukkha alayam ashashvadam te prapnivandi mam eva sam siddhim paramam gada. Krishna says he has attained perfection in that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, the same thing. How is liberation defined? Mukti hit anyadharyubam surubena vivastiti. That's all Bhagavatam says. If you, very interesting definition that is. Mukti hit anyadharyubam. Anyadharyubam means what? All this body, identification with the body. This is anyadharyubam. Any body, any form, what you have accepted is anyatha rupam. If you have given up that, and if you, and you are a surubhavana vivasthiti, is mukti. That's all. Bhagavatam has to say that much. Mukti hit anyatha rupam surubhavana vivasthiti. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, also you don't see this in that way spoken. That you go to another place and find mukti there. Mukti is kept in a plate somewhere and that he'll hand over to you there. Or when you get there, he gives you the ticket. Now, okay, you get in now. That is not how it happens. If it has to happen, it has to happen here. In this body itself, we have to escape before this body drops away. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പെർഫെക്റ്റ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് ഭാഗവതം ആസ് വെൽ ആസ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ആൾസോ സെയിങ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് മാമുപേത്യ പുനർജന്മ ദുഃഖാലയം അശാശ്വതം തേ പ്രാപ്നുവന്തി മാമേവ സംസിദ്ധിം പരമാം ഗത. ദാറ്റ് സംസിദ്ധി മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് പെർഫെക്ഷൻ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പരാം ഹീസ് ഇൻ ദ പെർഫെക്ഷണൽ സ്റ്റേജ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം. പരാംഗത പരാംഗതി മീൻസ് ഹി ഹാസ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് ഡെസ്റ്റിനേഷൻ ഓൾറെഡി വൈൽ വിത്തിൻ ദിസ് ഹി മേ ബി ഇൻ ദ ബോഡി. ദ ഭാഗവതം ഇഗൈൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദർ ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഹി സേ റിമെമ്പർ വെൻ ഹി സ്പോക്ക് ടു ഉദ്ധവ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദേഹസ്ഥോ ബി ന ദേഹസ്ഥ. ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേജ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് ആസ് മുക്തി ദർ ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം ടു ഉദ്ധവ. ആൻഡ് അർജുന ഓൾസോ ഹി സേസ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് ആൻഡ് ദ ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം യു വിൽ സി അഗൈൻ ശോബ്രഹ്മർഷി സേസ് ദാറ്റ് that what he calls it as the mukti tyakta anyadha roopam swaroopena vivasati. If you are in your swaroopam and situated in that state, you are come out of the trouble of the you are out of the trouble zone. What happens after that, that is another thing. We have to look at it in a different way. That is a different thing altogether. Initially the first step is to come out of this identification with the body. So we'll continue that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.